B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike. 97.5. We live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2-6, Mikey Miss. 97.5. No matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him, but never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fadeaway from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber caught him. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. Here he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk, Arthur Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
I love to hear the smooth groove, but it cracks me up, too. You know? Yeah, that's Lur Stevens with the Friday Jam that opens the Mike Missinelli Show. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, and we got a Sunday ball game. And as the week goes on, you know, we're trying to, like, really think through this one and just try to figure out whether the Eagles can actually win this game. Because that's the only thing that matters. I mean, who cares if they stay close? And bottom line is, if they can beat Pittsburgh and they beat Baltimore in consecutive weeks, well, then you got a little something that you can hope for at least the rest of the year as far as winning a division. If they don't win this game, it sets them back a little bit. They can still win a division, I guess. But let's focus on whether they can win this game. Now, yesterday we presented a couple of stats, courtesy of Hembo, that indicates that if the Eagles do X, they can get a dub. And X is getting Ertz involved in deeper patterns in the middle of the field, which the Ravens seem to struggle with. And the other thing is to get ahead early. Now, that's certainly possible. Like the Eagles, we said yesterday, the Eagles can get a 10-0 lead and make the kid work to come back with that, where his QBR, when he's trailing, is half of what it is when he's leading. And maybe a little panic sets in, and you can carry that game all the way into the end, and maybe you win it by a field goal. So, that's hopeful. Now, the thing that's not hopeful is that their offensive line is a total mess. So, they're going to have to start Jack Driscoll, place of Lane Johnson, it looks like. They're going to have to start Jamone Brown at right guard.
Not Jerome Brown.
No, Jamone Brown at right guard, at journeyman. And I didn't even know he was on the roster, dude. Seriously, where's he pop up from? Jamone Brown.
I don't know.
All right. And then Mailata at left tackle. So you're asking, it's a tall task, let's face it. And I don't think it's going to end well. But I want to hear from people, because you're going to get to go to the stadium for the first time all year. I don't know what kind of boost that'll give the Eagles, because it's just going to be, you know, 6,000, the smattering of 6,000. They can't make that big power roar to give a team energy, but at least you're going to go there and you're going to experience football live. And if you're planning, by now you got your plans all set up, and I'd love to hear your plans, what you're going to do as far as the tailgate goes. You're going to just get in your car, you're going to have a couple sandwiches in the car, a couple beers, and then go into the stadium. Like, how are you going to make, how are you going to do that, and what do you think it's going to be like? This is really interesting, and it's going to be really interesting Monday to talk to people who actually experienced going to the game and what they had to encounter.
Yeah, and it could go either way, to your point, Mike. If they can somehow get this lead with this beat-up offensive line, I think that this crowd will be more enthusiastic maybe than any crowd, even the NFC Championship crowd, because of the lag. The people that are there are going to be way engaged. The problem is, if they get down 10-0, ooh, this could perhaps be one of the nastiest crowds. Or, I wonder from people that are going to come, would they leave early?
I think they would definitely leave early.
Because normally, even when it takes really a lot for a lot of fans. I mean, we see it when it's 70,000. Mm-hmm. But if you only have 6,000 in the joint, if 1,000 people leave, that looks bad. And I'm wondering if they get behind. It could go either way.
Yeah, the opposite of that is they don't have to leave early because they don't have to be traffic.
That's true.
Less than
a lot of people, they make an evaluation and they go, all right, they're down. I can beat traffic, you know, that makes them get up and leave. So they don't have that angle now. They may stay to the end. But if they're getting blasted, nobody stays to the end. Philadelphia crowds don't stay to the end when you get blasted.
No. And the other part is, it looks like DeSean Jackson back. Looks like. We never know with him for sure.
I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going. You're not happy with something.
No. Before I get there, can this offensive line hold up for a five-step drop to get that man deep? Like, I'm trying to take the positives for maybe if Mailata plays well, Driscoll plays well, can they hold up to get a couple deep shots with a legitimate deep threat? Because you know they're going to be paying attention to Fulgham. It's kind of weird to say that, but you know they're now going to game plan to take Fulgham away. That means that Ertz and Jackson will probably be single covered, at least early in the game. Could they pop one early to DeSean deep to get that lead? Can the offensive line hold up enough?
It's an interesting part. I think they're going to have to try that. But let's move into the other area.
Well, okay. So,
number 1-7.
Right. So, Howie Roseman, before the season, did not put Alshon on the PUP list because people were saying, the doctors were saying, and media were saying that he could possibly play in the month of September. Mm-hmm. So there was no need to have him out for the first 6 weeks, put him on a PUP list because he's not going to miss the first six games.
Yeah.
Derek Guns came on the air when he was talking about his appearance on his upcoming appearance at the time on the pregame show, and he mentioned that he seemed motivated, lighter, etc. Last week, he was all set to play. Mm-hmm. He gets sick, doesn't play. Now, all of a sudden, he just got into team drills and appears he's not ready to play now. So now he's going to miss 6 weeks. So one, why wasn't he on the PUP list, Howie? This happened to you with Sproles last year. Why does this keep happening? And two, what happened to you being healthy in September and now you can't play? Now, I don't like to question a guy. If he's hurt, he's hurt. But if everyone was saying he's healthy, it starts to make me believe perhaps he's not in love with playing football anymore.
Ah, and that's where we should go with this. Because here's the problem with needy people not being in there every day and being cast like through Zoom. They can't find out the little tidbits. We don't know whether this guy, we don't know whether the organization or the doctors are saying, yeah, he's good. And he's saying, nah, this don't feel right yet. Because they can't force a guy to play. And so whatever you think of Alshon Jeffrey, could it be that he's saying, nah, and the words thief come into play, and then the words cancer come into play, because you know that that's very detrimental to the team if he's going to play his own individual game and just take the money without the performance. So where are you headed with this, and where are Eagle fans with Alshon Jeffrey right now?
I'm at the point where they need good players because they're desperate. He's out this week. Fulgham, if Fulgham, I know he's not going to get 10 catches, 150 yards. Yeah. But if he still looks like an NFL receiver against this good defense, probably the best defense they're going to play the rest of this season, then you know what I want? You take your money, you go home, thanks for the Super Bowl, I no longer need your services here.
And
that's where I'm at.
Bite the bullet.
Yep, because he's already guaranteed. Like, it's already guaranteed for this year. You're not going to get things. If Fulgham looks terrible or someone gets hurt or something, you might be stuck. But I'm saying if Fulgham gets through this game healthy, then I have to say thank you for the Super Bowl. We'll never forget it. But I no longer need you in my building. You already hated on my quarterback publicly. You know what you did. And you don't want to play, I don't want you around. You'll collect your money every 2 weeks, but stay away and good luck with your future endeavors. I'm not going to release you because you're not going to go play for somebody else. Uh-huh. You're going to sit home this year. I'll pay you.
You're going to TL them.
Just go away.
Okay. Here's the thing that it's funny about, because Eagle fans, this is an issue that really would normally heat up Eagle fans, right? So today, Alshon Jeffrey should thank God for Travis Fulgham, who came along, because people are looking at him, they're going, they're all excited about him, and they're not as much concerned about having Jeffrey in the lineup. Because normally, they'll be, oh, I can't believe this guy, blah, 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 blah. And not only that, but I don't think that people are looking at the Eagles like a contender anyway. So that's another reason why they're not heated up about this. Think about any other player who was important to any other team who's not playing. We would be questioning it from top to bottom. And we're not right now, Jeffrey. But I think now we expected he was going to play last week. All right, we go, okay, well, he needs another week. We certainly didn't expect he wasn't going to play this game. And it might be that he's going, nah, I'm not good yet. Because he looks like the type of dude that would do that. He's done it in the past.
Right, and before the season started, there were people who said the San Fran game was the game. 2 weeks ago, like 4 weeks, and that's why he's not on the pup list. Then this week, the Eagles cut a guy, and I know we're not thinking about it, but they cut a defensive end that they drafted that they liked. They cut other guys that they drafted because they liked him.
Mm-hmm.
They cut him because they needed the roster spot for other things, Vinny Curry, etc. If he's on the pup list, there's no need to do that. And we don't know, seventh-round picks that you like, I don't care what it is, are cheap talent. If you like them, that's a cheap guy at a premium position. And in Washington, who I think actually knows about pass rushers, they pick him up. Which tells me that somebody else thought maybe this guy has something. And that's where that kind of thing costs you when you have a player who doesn't really want to play. And people, you think it's not a big deal until one more injury on a defensive line happens and you wish you had that guy.
Yeah.
It's all a big deal on a roster when you're not good. Every spot matters.
Yes, it does. All right, as we go into the break, we have a big show today. We got Nikki Glaser is going to join us at 3 o'clock. She's going to gig in Philly. I don't think she's been in Philly for a long time. So we'll talk there quickly about that at 3 o'clock. Brian Westbrook, 4 to 5. And during the Brian Westbrook hour, we're going to give somebody a shot at winning an autographed Brian Westbrook football.
Ooh.
And what you're going to have to do there is give kind of a testimonial, quick testimonial on why you deserve the football. So we'll do that with some callers.
This is what you will hear during your time.
You have 30 seconds to do it, to tell why you deserve the football. And Brian is the guy that's going to give the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Oh, I love it. The drama.
Yes. We're going to have some drama today. And also, one of these things, this is interesting because this guy irritates me now. And he put out something innocuous and it irritated me. So it's J.J. Redick. He wrote the following tweet. What's the best basketball movie of all time? And I tweeted how J.J. Redick, what did I say? what was my tweet? I forget what I wrote. How J.J. Redick
betrayed
the Sixers.
In production.
Like, the film hasn't come out yet. And I'm getting slammed on Twitter.
You are.
From J.J. fans. And I'm going, seriously? Here's a dude who stole $23 million. Well, he didn't steal. He's a good player. But $23 million, where he took advantage of a loophole where they had overpay him by about $10 million. Right? So he took that with glee. And then kept saying, I love it here, blah, blah, blah. It's close to my Brooklyn home, all this kind of stuff. So they offer him 12. He goes for another bag with a bad team. And I'm supposed to have loyalty to this punk? All he's done has been a divisive force towards the Sixers with his little passive-aggressive little knit-nats trying to get Jimmy Butler engaged against the Sixers, him throwing his own little shots. I've had it with J.J. Redick.
I agree with you.
All right, but we will actually answer the question. What's the best basketball movie of all time? While we're ripping JJ. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It's a big show. It's Football Friday. What do you think on Sunday? Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:21 Football Friday. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly, 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies. For every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's counter location in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Nansalkin, Westchester. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Let's kick it off. Fall's here. Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. Your stop for all outdoor power equipment, hedgers, trimmers, leaf blowers, chainsaws, mowers. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or just, you know, if you're in the Doylestown area, that's where they are. Stop by. Natalie, what's today's Twitter poll?
Alrighty, Mike, over 200 votes on this Friday poll. Despite the offensive line concerns, do you think the Eagles have what it takes to beat the Ravens? 29% say yes, 71% say no.
Well, you see, that's the thing that separates Philadelphia from other towns. Reality. You know? Yeah. It's refreshing in a lot of ways.
It is.
Because they look at it and go, Jolly Charlie? Here with this game, they got Joe down the street playing right tackle and right guard. You know, like how am I supposed to put it together?
And that's where all week you were at. I was looking. I was hoping that today we would get some good news, basically that a bunch of people were coming back.
Yeah,
and instead it looks like we may get one. And that one, we don't know if would make it actually through the game.
No, he won't.
We just think he'll get to the start of the game.
He won't make it through the game.
So,
but maybe he plays enough to catch a long pass.
Right. So it's like I needed something solid to make me believe. And
yes.
I did not get that. And Doug was a little snippy again.
Oh, of course.
Snippy.
He's a new Doug. Snippage. Doug.
Snippage.
Yeah.
But that works when you win. Like, Belichick can be snippy.
Yeah.
Because those fans know, well, who cares?
Yeah, and his fan base will bail out on him with more snippage if they're not winning.
You're 1-3-1 getting snippy, so you're going to be snippy at 1-4-1?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a very good record to be snippy.
It's not. Are you working on your basketball list?
Yes.
All right.
I got a few off the top that always jump.
I got a top five that I think is pretty solid. And one of them is forgotten about, underplayed basketball movie.
All right.
That you go way back with.
Huh. Okay.
And it might hold up today. The theme of it. I think people are zeroed in on it for me. I made a top 10, but frankly, the back five is weaker.
Basketball, there has not been enough
solid
basketball movies.
You're absolutely right.
There's not been enough boxing,
yes.
Football, golf, they've mixed some in baseball, basketball week, and hockey week.
I think I got seven strong.
Okay.
And, I'll get a top 10 list. The seven strong, the other three are just, whatever.
Air Bud make the list?
Air Bud did not make the list.
Not on my list.
It's on mine.
Yeah, listen, Air Bud is... I got to be honest with you, and this is hard for me to do, but Fish to Save Pittsburgh make my list either. And I hate to do that because that's Doc.
Right.
But that was horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was more like a promotional engine or something, really a movie.
Exactly.
So
I couldn't rate it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Eric in Long Island. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Mike, I want to make 3 points. Number one, you look at the Ravens over the last 2 weeks, two blowout games against the Redskins and the Bengals at home. I think that will give us an opportunity with getting some fans back, a little juice in the building. I think we're going to be in this football game in the fourth quarter, very much like we were against Pittsburgh last week. So I think the way the schedule sets up with Baltimore looking at their bye next week, I think that helps the Eagles out when you kind of, break down the X's and O's as well. But from a defensive point of view, Their wide receivers and running backs don't scare me. It's obviously getting a spy for Lamar, but the one guy on that offense that I think is going to give us a lot of problems is Mark Andrews, the tight end. He's like a poor man's George Kittle. And we know with Nate Jerry and some of these guys, they can't cover anybody. So he's the one guy on that offense I'm going to pay attention to more than anything. And as far as the wide receivers go, Mike, my last point, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind with these guys, Fulgham, we're excited about, but he's going to have to show some consistency, and he's also going to have to be given the opportunity. I'm just curious to see if we get a Deshaun back, or if Alshon ever decides to come back and play for us, what are they going to end up doing with Fulgham? They're going to push him to the curb? They're going to give him that shot that he deserves? Like you said, I don't believe these guys are going to stay healthy enough to stay on the field, so it's almost like I've treated these guys over the last 2 years as not being a part of the team anyway. So whatever they can give me going forward is great, But let's call it as it is. We still need a number one wide receiver, whether it's now or for the future. And that's the problem we don't have with this football team.
I agree. And I don't think that Rager is a number one. I think he's too small kind of to be a number one reliable guy when you look at how receivers are in this league. Here's the thing I think they're going to, and I think they have to play it smart with. They have to keep Fulgham in there. Now, when Alshon Jeffery's ready to play, and I don't know what they're going to do with him at this point, but if he's ready to play, they're certainly not going to replace Fulgham. They'll intersperse him.
Absolutely. And that's what they need to do there. And obviously, Greg Ward is in the slot. You know, one thing I'll say with Deshaun is they better get him involved early in this game, like you said as well, because he's the type of guy, if he's not getting the ball in the first quarter, Deshaun's going to check out. I mean, mentally, he's going to check out his football game if he's sitting there in the second half with no catches. So they got to be able to figure a way out to get him involved early, try to get a lead, use the crowd to their advantage, you know, all 5,000, 6,000, whatever's there, and figure a way out. But I do agree. I think we have a shot in this football game. At the end of the day, can we make enough plays? And we'll see it come Sunday, you know that?
Yeah, I don't think they have a shot. I don't know where you got that idea, but I don't think.
All right, Scott, everything I said. Yeah. Goodbye.
No, I think the stat, there are some statistics that are interesting, and they interestingly enough favor the Eagles if they do X, you know? But again, that's that many a slip from cup to lip thing, you know? Kennard's get deeper. He's not a deeper guy. Like early on, maybe he got deeper. He hasn't gotten deeper the last couple of years.
He hasn't. And then the other part is, can they block it? Like Wentz, yeah. I think that Wentz has to be. I think people will have to deal with the sacks. No complaints about him holding the ball. I think that Wentz is going to have to do some stuff to get guys open this week.
Look at the state of that offensive line from where we thought they were going to be.
I know.
It's uncanny.
It could have been Dillard, Sayamalu, Kelsey, Brooks, and Lane Johnson. So right side, from center to the right, is the best in the NFL normally.
It's hard to believe. If I'm a quarterback, I'm freaked.
Right.
I can be honest with you. Now he's done a good job being stoic about it, but damn, how are you comfortable?
That's what I mean. And I think he's going to have to do Wentz stuff, and he's probably going to have to walk the line of did he hold it too long, whatever. Because I don't know if they're not naturally open, he's going to have to buy time. And I don't think they can win this game with him throwing it away. Because I think they have to score 30. Because the defense is still defense. I think they have to score 31 to win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be real difficult to score 30 on this.
I know, but I think that's what they're going to need to win is to score 30.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I kind of see it. I kind of see a 27-6 game.
Okay.
Well, I hope I'm wrong there, but that's what I'm kind of seeing.
If they will run the ball and get conservative if they see the Eagles can't move it.
Yeah.
But if it gets into shootout mode, they can do that too. And score quick. That's how they're different than the previous Ravens, where they don't have to grind it out, but they can.
I always set myself up, right? So I go, I see a 27-6. So Eagles will score naturally the first touchdown of the game, lead 7-0. And then people will come out and attack.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Don't be happy.
They already scored more than six.
By all means, don't be happy about your team scoring. Be mad at someone else while your team's in the lead.
All righty. Kenny in Philadelphia. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's going on, Kenny?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
All right. Mike, I think J.J. Redick, first of all, his decision, when he opened up his mouth, he could tell the fool what he speak. You know, I think he's wrong for making a statement that he's making about the Sixers, you know, because what did he do when he was here? You know, a couple of shots there and there.
Well, no, he was a good player when he was here, but he's turned to a nudge. Dude, you selected going to New Orleans. Now shut up. The Sixers are no longer your business. That's my problem with him. He's a little troublemaker. He's like he was a little nudge when he was a Duke. Everybody hated him. And then he got to be liked because he turned himself into a good player in this league. And now he's like a passive aggressive little nudge trying to turn a little screw in everybody. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, as far as the Eagles go, man, I feel as though they're going to beat Baltimore.
You do?
Yes, I think the final score is going to be
21-17.
21-17. Now, you have a lot more faith in him than I do. Tell me why you think you're going to win the game.
Because I'm just a diehard Eagles fan.
Well, that's not a good enough reason.
Not a good enough reason.
You got to give me some material here. Come on, it's, Kenny.
Material. I think Carson Wentz is going to have one of them breakout games that he's due to have.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
And can you make a note of footnote that I was the first caller that believed in Fulcum? I told you he was going to be a great wide receiver.
Well, you believed in, if you're going to believe in a guy, you got to get his name right. You know what I'm saying? Because you just diluted your whole thing. His name is Fulcum. Not Fulcum. Come on, man. Come on, Ken. You got to come armed.
Hey, you know what? I'm enjoying the show, so that's
all right, Kenny.
What did he say last week?
He gets the names wrong. And I think Booty was keeping track last week. He got a bunch wrong in the same call. Like, I think he said
Jeffries.
Forget Jeffries. We got Fulcum.
He's classic.
Fulcum.
Now, I'm the first guy to tell you about Fulcum.
He's been calling for weeks now, getting it wrong. Like, he's still talking about the same guy. And I remember back in the day, Hershey Ken. Hawkins.
You got to clean it up, Ken. Come on. All right, let's go to Christopher in Brooklyn. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
How you doing, Christopher?
I'm doing okay. Happy Friday.
You too,
buddy. I just got to get some things off my chest about Alshon, man. He is a cancer. He reminds me of those people who get those fraudulent PPP loans so that they can get free money for doing absolutely nothing. I'm sick of it.
Wow.
You know, and it's a bigger problem because it's really Howie's doing, his meddling hands. His best days are behind him. We need to move on from this type of management at the Eagles if we ever want to have success again like we did a couple years ago.
That's not going to happen right away. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I think they're going to have a bad year next year for that to be a front office change.
But it's becoming more apparent every day that he is the problem. And I just think more people are going to come to realize it. I know it's up to Lori, but it's getting out of hand. It's just getting worse day by day, week by week. How much more can
you
take?
It's funny because the thing about Alshon is, in Chicago, he showed a little bit of con in him, right? So he comes here and we go, wow. Yeah, I ain't wrong about Alshon in Chicago because he's playing hard. Look at that. And then he went back to con.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing you got to read as a good gentleman. You got to read a guy like that. Like, he's clearly taking their cash. Hey, he's just loving it. Like, because this is what he does. Like, I'm in charge, not the organization. So I'm going to just take your cash and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go, I don't feel.
He's not going to get any better.
I'm not ready, man. I got a little tweak.
Yeah, and then going on to JJ, he's throwing shots on his little podcast. I'm sick of him, too.
Yeah, well, today he didn't take a shot. I'm taking a shot because he's irritating me every time I see him.
Yeah, but he's done it before, and he's smug about it. And you know what? And
he's a little troublemaker.
Yeah, and Brett Brown and Elton John should have did whatever he could to keep him and Jimmy.
Elton John?
Yeah, that's what I call him. You know,
all right.
I'm not really feeling him.
It's a little bit funny. Yes. Elton John.
Yeah, that's what I call him.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
All right. Go Birds.
You got it, Christopher.
You know, Elton Gotts has some money. I always wonder if you were let's say you were a big singer like Elton John and you did hypothetically buy a sports team.
Yeah.
How often would you do the concert at halftime?
Huh.
You're there a lot anyway.
Just go down during the half and
like rather than have
tune.
Like the different people that you have.
Yeah.
You say special for our fans. How many times a year would he come down and do a little rock?
Bon Jovi, when he was owner of the
Soul.
I don't think he did a couple concerts, right? That was part of the package. If you bought a season ticket, you got a Bon Jovi concert.
Right. I know that was, you could go to a special. I'm talking about you're the owner.
Oh, you're just there hanging out.
So you decide, hey.
They roll a piano out
and
there.
And you say like, yeah, you predetermine it. Like you say before the season, if I'm going to perform X amount of time. I just wonder because I know you have the skill
actually,
level.
A very good idea. You roll out a piano.
Yeah.
And not only that, they bring out a tiny dancer.
Oh.
And he plays it.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
That's a beautiful song.
This little ballerina comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that.
Everybody's moved.
That would be awesome.
Rocket Man.
There you go.
Yeah, they shoot a guy with a cannon.
You can have some come to
That'd be perfect. They shoot something like, you know.
Have the dunk squad. Or you have the dunk squad. I'm just wondering. I would probably, I now kind of want Elton John.
Bill Lil, Yellow Brick Road. He walks to the piano.
The dunk squad can jump over Elton and dunk.
And dunk. That would be, I kind of want Elton John.
They wouldn't have to go very high to do that, though.
Well, he's sitting at the piano. You still got to go over the piano.
Yeah, you have to jump.
Over the piano dunk. Yeah. See, that would be spectacular. Yeah.
Philadelphia Freedom.
Yeah, but I'm sure he doesn't know how to spell basketball, that dude.
He don't need him to know anything.
Well, he's going to buy some. He'd buy a soccer squad.
You never know.
Yeah.
I just think that would be fun. I kind of want him to buy the Sixers now.
It'd be outstanding.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Usher has a small piece of the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, lame. Give me, a real city. Like, have an athlete, have a great musician, buy it, and then perform it sometimes. You'll be walking around like, hey, Elton John. I just think that would be a lot of fun once he mentioned it.
That would be pretty cool.
He would have to change some of the lyrics in Tiny Dancer. Because you know when he says the boulevard's not that bad? He's not talking about the Roosevelt Boulevard. You know? So if he moved to Philly, it would be like, the boulevard is bad. Yeah.
You know, Booney does point out, Will Smith could buy the team. He has the money.
Yeah.
And then
I thought he was a stakeholder.
But that's not enough. Yeah, I don't know.
He got a little piece, like Hyman Roth.
Yeah. Smaller piece. Yeah, I want to have the big piece and be the main guy.
Yeah.
So he's meandering around, and then sometimes you just hear him doing, getting jiggy with it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I want everybody to enjoy their cake. So, enjoy.
I got two. I got Bruce, I got Hyman. That's all I got.
That's a good one.
Frank and Philly are on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Frank?
Alshon Jeffrey soft in a baby poop. He gotta go. Cut him, pay him his money. JJ the Riddick, eat the face. These guys are just soft. Alshon the song. Goodbye.
JJ could have been universally loved here.
He
has to push the envelope. He's got to get Jimmy Butler in there, and he winds Jimmy up exactly where he wants Jimmy to go for his little passive-aggressive shots that the Sixers not giving him the money that New Orleans wanted to give him. Frankie, I hear you. See, that kind of thing doesn't work with the Philadelphia fan base when you start jaking it to stay out of the lineup.
Right.
You know? And I know that's probably irresponsible to say, because I don't know what his story is. But it almost seems like his past behavior would indicate that it's more likely that he's just messing with him than being safe for his health.
Right. And he was the one who was floating it out there, ready to be a better teammate. I'm in better shape. I'm going to be ready in September. The doctors are holding me back. Because they were talking about, he could be ready for week one, but they have to be more cautious with the injury, and he should be ready. He could have tamped all that down by saying, hey, I don't know. And then you put him on the PUP list and reserve the roster spot. He's been on the active roster now 6 weeks, and he's going to have played zero snaps.
Yeah.
That can't happen. And he's collecting all that money. You can't do that.
He's got direct deposit. It just checks it. Clear.
And the same thing happened last year with Sproles. And then they'll say, he showed up to practice and then he re-injured it. Yeah, but you know it takes longer with older players. Uh-huh. So just put him on the PUP list and reserve the roster spot. You're not good enough. And this is becoming a pattern with Howie, where he trusts older players to be healthy. And no one else in the NFL trusts older players to be healthy. No one else. Just him.
We're going to take a break. And on the other side, I'm going to give you my top 10 that I have ranked.
I have a top 10 as well.
And you got a top 10. All right, we'll see if our top fives jive, because that's the important part.
I have a top five.
You do have a top five as well?
It's probably not.
You got Air Bud in there probably, right?
Huh?
Do you have Air Bud in there?
I mean, it might
be. I guarantee you have Space Jam in there.
It's my number one.
I knew it. All right, so and I'm telling you, one is an upset on this. But the people who know this movie would go, yeah, I remember that movie. 610-632-0975. Mike Mazzelli Show. Back after this with our top five basketball movie lists.
The Mike Mazzelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:44. Mike Mastelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Coming up in 15 minutes, the official comedian of the Mike Mastelli Show. It's Nikki Glaser coming. I got a lot of questions for Nikki. Because she's back on tour, apparently. And she's in Royers Ford, PA, Sunday. Not that.
That's great.
I talked to
that's
the guy at the club today. The club's name is Soul Joe. I talked to Joel.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Are you going to try to go?
Yeah.
That's going.
Yeah, I think she hooked me up.
She did?
Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
But in any event, we'll talk to her at 3 o'clock. And we have, of course, Brian Westbrook from 4 to 5 today on Football Friday. So, J.J. Redick put out a tweet. The mere mention of his name irritates me. I don't know why, because I used to really like him. He's definitely a type of player I would like. You know, the white boy jump shooter plays in that defense. And so, but now, he's such a little nudge with his little podcast, and he's always taking shots at the Sixers because he's miffed that they wouldn't pay him the ridiculous money that New Orleans would pay him. Now, he's blaming the Sixers for that, instead of his own damn self, where he stole $23 million anyway. So anyway, he says in his tweet, what's the best basketball movie of all time? Now, that's a great barroom question. You can sit around, you have your own list, you have your own subjective evaluations of these movies. So let's go. All three of us with our top five, and Ty and I did a top 10. So here is my top 10. All right, here's the top five. And you're not going to like this because, you know, I have to go traditional. I have to go classic. So Hoosiers is number one. Number two, Blue Chips with my man Pete Bell, Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, and Matt Nover. Number three, you know where I'm going with this. Above the Rim.
Yes.
Love that movie.
I love Above the Rim. Number three, solidly. Number four is a documentary, but I went to the movie. I was so intrigued by this that I actually saw this in the movie theater. Hoop Dreams.
Very good.
Number four. And my number five, here it is. Way back in the day, I even forget what year. One on One with Robbie Benson. And his girlfriend at the time in the movie at college, he was a highly recruited kid from Colorado who goes to this big school in L.A. and wasn't as advertised. And the coach, the evil coach in the movie, is played by Senator Geary from Godfather 2.
Really?
I've never. That guy always plays an evil character.
Guy, yeah.
An evil coach. He was the evil coach in One on One who buried him on the bench and encouraged him to transfer until he needed him in a big game. And then the kid went crazy, won the game for him, and told him to stick his scholarship up his keister.
Oh, wow.
You got to see it. You got to see it. Robbie Benson, he drives all the way from Colorado in a Datsun 280Z.
Oh, wow.
Because he got a little payout.
Mm-hmm.
Took some money from the school. Underhanded.
Well, you should.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it wasn't working out because he was too fancy.
Mm.
You know? Between the legs, all this stuff. Coach didn't like him. So 101 is my number five. Number six, Coach Carter.
Strong.
Number seven, I've got to put it on there because people love it. Space Jam. Number eight, He Got Game. A sterling performance by Ray Allen in He Got Game.
Jesus Shuttleworth.
That is correct. Number nine, I go with, you know, I don't really like this movie, but I had to put it on. So I put White Man Can't Jump on there.
But I'm not. It doesn't do that much for me.
I like them. I love the movie. Oh yeah, it's very
high. All right, so I had to put it on, and then number 10, I went with Glory Road, which is just all right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And I get the Mighty Max as 11 because my good friend Anthony Gargano involved in the screenplay writing of that movie. So there you go. All right, now what is your top five?
All right, number one, I have Above the Rim.
Yeah, there's one.
Number one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tupac.
Yeah, Bernie
Martin. Yeah. Two is White Men Can't Jump for me. Three, Love and Basketball.
Love and Basketball.
And Basketball for me, number three.
With Omar Epps.
With Omar Epps.
Yeah.
Sanaa Lathan.
Sanaa Lathan.
Younger people out there, if you're currently dating.
Yes. Me and Ty were talking about this off the air.
If you're the young man, invite the young lady over. Put the movie on. Don't do a thing. Just
watch the movie.
Just watch the movie. That's it. And then call me Monday and thank me.
Yeah, Love and Basketball. It's a good movie.
I love it.
Yeah.
Four for me is that's where Blue Chips comes in for me. And then five, I had in an upset, Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf.
Wow.
Come on.
It is. It's number five for
Teen
me.
Teen Wolf.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Teen Wolf. Like, think about how the Wolf had went all the way to the NBA. The Wolf was killing fools. Dunking, making all the threes. Like, as far as pure hooping, he's the best basketball player we've ever seen in a movie, period.
All right.
Teen Wolf is five for me. Five dead or alive.
Teen Wolf. Upset. Teen Wolf. All right, continue. Who's your back end five?
All right. Then Coach Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Then He Got Game.
Mm-hmm.
Semi-Pro.
Oh, I hated that movie.
I loved it. It was funny.
That silly-ass Will Ferrell thing.
Loved it.
Let me tell you a story about that after you finish your list.
Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
And then a movie with Rhea Perlman as the coach that I've always loved, Inner City School called Sunset Park.
I heard of that movie.
And that is...
I've never seen it.
Love the soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
And that's my number two.
Okay. All right. Nat, your top five.
All right. I have my top five. I have Love and Basketball at number one. And these are all like movies that I like loved as a kid.
Yeah.
So bear with me. Okay. Love and Basketball is my number one. I have Space Jam at two. I have The Sixth Man with Marlon Wayans at number three. Remember that? It was so good. I cried.
Dean Hardison.
Yes. Such a good, I loved that movie. I had it on VHS and I watched it all the time. Number four is Air Bud and the number five is The Sleeper. And I remember seeing it in the movie theater with my friends in like seventh or eighth grade and AI made a cameo. That's why we all went. Like Mike with Lil Bow Wow. Gets struck by lightning. He ends up playing for...
You like these like fantasy-esque... Basketball.
These are my favorite.
I like the hardcore basketball movie.
Did you see Like Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Oh.
It does look like the pumping past Vince Carter.
Semi-pro.
At the end.
I was invited to the screening of that movie at Penn State.
Oh, I'm sure it was awesome.
I was invited to the screening because I don't know whether I had to do a review on it or whatever it is, but they invited me to Penn State. And then it was like where I had talked to students and whatever. And I'm sitting in this movie. I go, I cannot believe this is the stupidest movie I've ever seen.
Come on,
it's ridiculous.
Jackie Moon is trying to get them to the NBA.
All right.
The Tropics.
It's horrendous.
Woody's out there balling. Former Celtic, Woody Harrelson.
Horrendous.
The girl from ER.
The girl from ER.
Anyway, on one-on-one. Has one of the underrated hotties in it, who was his girlfriend, she was his tutor, and then they start sleeping together. Robbie Benson.
Well, who
Annette O'Toole. Oh. Remember the redhead girl who was Nick Nolte's girlfriend in 48 Hours?
Yeah, that's her.
Uh-huh. And back then, red hair sizzle. Now... Look at her now. Back in the day, though.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find.
You remember her in 48 Hours?
Yeah, I do.
She was the bartender.
Yeah, right.
Don't put me on hold, Jack. Don't put me on hold.
She had a run.
She did.
All right,
there you go. Six. One-on-one. What year? I don't know, but you got to see it. It's ridiculous, but Robbie Benson could play, Tyrone. Robbie Benson, you don't even remember him, do you, as an actor? He was just a good-looking, little boy-looking actor. But he could play. He actually, like, he had handle and all, and could shoot it.
And I, by the way, Teen Wolf would be number one for me if he stayed the Wolf. What takes it down is when he switches back to Michael J. Fox. Like, what are you doing? You're on a basketball court. Why are you being Michael J. Fox? Be the Wolf and go make the league.
How could the Wolf palm the ball?
What do you mean?
It's unrealistic.
He was half wolf.
He had wolf hands.
Yeah, but
no, he just had the hair and the nails.
Just had the hair and the nails. He still had.
He had a padded paws.
Yeah. He still was a man out there. That's why it came out his hands so soft on those three-pointers. You didn't see him. He never missed the whole movie.
First of all, you know the nails would get in the way of the smooth three-pointer.
He would file them down. He had that girlfriend. She filed them nails down, and he's right back out the... I never missed. All he right. didn't miss the whole movie.
3 o'clock. Nikki Glaser is going to join us at 3 o'clock. And then back to your phone calls on a silly Friday on the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery in Delhi, world famous tomato pie, hoagie, party, cheese, and biz good. You know, it is a football Friday, but we wanted to start the 3 o'clock hour with a little smile on our face. You know, a little fanfare, a little loosening up, because this great comedian is going to be in Royersford on Sunday. And of course, she is the official comedian of the Mike Missinelli Show. This is, I think, her third appearance. She's funny, she's smart, she's woke. And she's hot. That's like a grand slam. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Glaser. Nikki!
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Smart, funny, woke, hot. Is that what you said?
That's the grand slam right there.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. All I heard was hot, really. I don't know the first three you said. I don't really care.
All right. So you're in the Philadelphia area for the first time in how long?
I mean, it's been a while. I mean... probably over a year. It's time doesn't really make sense anymore. So it could have been 5 years. It could have been 5 months. But it's definitely been a while. And it's an outdoor show, which is makes everyone feel safe and good. And it's different and weird. And that's what I'm loving about these outdoor shows is that I'm going to be honest with you. Most shows kind of all blend together, no matter where you are. I mean, I'm just someone who like I have as good of a show as possible, but they all kind of seem the same. But you never forget an outdoor show, so this is one show that I definitely will, like, remember for the rest of my life, because hopefully we just don't have to do this much anymore.
Well, that's cool. It's going to be outdoors. I wasn't aware of that, so I guess there's going to be more people. That you'll be able to have more people. And they added another show, I understand.
Yeah, I'm a big deal. I've worked very hard to maintain relevance during this time away, where I've been living in St. Louis with my parents. It's nice to know that I've sold out. I think there's maybe some tickets available that they've, like, added so they can squeeze some more. They've made more space, you know, outside. It's, like, it's so nice that people care to come see me. And I've been writing a lot of new material, and I've got a lot to say. And it's just going to be really fun. I'm excited to perform again.
This is going to be awesome because is this part of an Eastern swing that you're doing, or have you moved back to New York?
Well, it's the very beginning of me trying out the East Coast again. So I'm coming out for this show, and then I'm headed to New York City, where I used to live before this all went down. And I haven't been back there since March. And so I'm going back to New York just to see how it feels. And then I might end up just, like, moving back there. But I've got one foot in St. Louis near my family. I'm just waiting, you know, I don't know where I belong right now. I feel like a lot of people feel that way, of just this limbo of, like, what do I do next? So kind of just living out of a suitcase.
Yeah, you have done a lot of shows, right? You have been traveling to do shows.
Yeah, I did a little bit of an outdoor run in July, and then I have been doing some indoor shows around the Midwest because they've found a way to social distance inside, and I've been going on stage with a mask, which is, like, running with a weighted vest. I mean, it's a lot harder to get laughs, but that's what I've been training with, and now I get to take the mask off, and the jokes get to really, I really get to see how they work this Sunday.
You've been doing the shows with the mask on?
Yeah, it's been really weird. I don't have to, but I just, if the audience has to be in a mask, I just feel weird not being in a mask. You know how that feeling when people around you have a mask and you don't have one on?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. You just feel awkward. And it is kind of a challenge. It's a weird challenge to be able to get people to laugh just using your eyes. I mean, I've really gotten into much bigger gestures and act outs, and I've started using props. Just kidding.
Yeah, because you're big on facial expressions. I mean, that's one of the keys.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was hard for a while because I had Botox in like probably February because I didn't know the only half of my face was going to be able to be used to communicate for most of the year. So the Botox is just drained out, so I was able to like not look like a total sociopath walking around with a mask and just like a blank stare. So my forehead, my washboard forehead is back. I have wrinkles back. I have expressions back. And, yeah. And so it definitely helps for comedy to be able to move your face.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's the question. Where have you gone in your head these days to find funny? Because, ooh, you know, your act is a lot about relationships and a lot about things in life that you spot and observations and all this stuff. Where have you gone?
Yeah, gone to some dark places, Mike. It's gotten real dark. I've been, it's been crazy during this time. I think I've been very depressed. I've been anxious. I've been all over the place. I've had a wide range of feelings, and comedy is such a great way to process those. But you're right about relationships. Like the fact that I've lived with my parents, you know, so there's not been any attempt to actually like have a boy over or like have a man in my life. But there's been like dating things here and there, like, you know, FaceTime with guys or just being on these apps just to match with someone and get validation and then never follow up and ghost them. Like there's been stories here and there, but in terms of my act being like very highly sexual, like it usually is, I'm kind of known as like a sex comic. To be honest, I haven't had sex since June of 2019. So right now I'm talking about the lack of sex in my life on stage as opposed to, just like, and kind of just reminiscing about it and thinking about like, oh, is it still the same? Like, I'm just writing from whatever perspective I'm living. I'm always honest up there and I try to just be as unfiltered as possible. Even when I have a mask on, it's literally filtering things.
June 2019. Natalie, yeah, Natalie, June 2019? What do you
think?
What? Well, I'm asking, like, what would be your reaction to that? June 2019?
Yeah, Natalie, how do you feel about that?
How do you feel about that?
I mean,
I don't want to ask you if you had sex since June 2019, but what could you do that?
I mean, you know, it's all personal preference and Godspeed, Nikki. I'm here for you.
I can't sex with someone that I don't love. It's like a new rule I have for myself so that I don't get abandoned by men. And if you have sex with them too soon, they don't like you anymore. It's just happened too many times. So
yeah, I don't think that's correct.
Someone loves me.
I dispute
and
that.
No one, I don't love anyone. And so I just refuse to have sex. And it really sucks. I mean, I'll probably give up at some point with this rule, but that's kind of where I found myself. I mean, I definitely could have sex if I want to.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, it's a choice, but it's becoming hard to handle.
It makes sense.
I just can't keep going.
You don't have time to fall in love, and therefore, if you're connecting sex to love, you're in oblivion.
Yes, and I'm unavailable emotionally as well. So I'm not even letting anyone in to try to fall in love with. It's very complex.
Yeah,
and
this is going to be an interesting act then, because now you're pivoting here. So I'm curious to know what's up.
It is a pivot. I'm just trying to figure things out. I mean, I'm 36. I'm single. I have had like really one boyfriend in my life. I'm probably gay. Like, I don't really know what's happening anymore. My sister did go, I went on a walk with my sister the other day, and she literally did go, like, what about dating women? And I go, oh, is that where I'm at, where my family is, like, whispering behind closed doors that I might be gay?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's how long I've been single. And no, I'm not, and yes, I'm open to it.
I'm smelling that's going to be party act on Sunday. So let me ask you about this, because I've been watching this, and I'm sure you have, too. The Comedy Store is on Showtime. that documentary. Yeah. And like the first scene of it is a shot of the Comedy Store, and you're on the marquee in the very first scene. And
oh,
just,
nice.
Yes. So you haven't seen it yet.
No, I don't like watching things that I'm on. I really have a hard time watching myself.
Yeah, you're not on yet.
Well, okay,
you're not on it.
Okay,
so
good.
It traces the start of it and what comedians had to do to get in that place.
Yeah.
And it goes way back. I mean, you're talking about the Letterman days and the Leno days and all that kind of stuff on how you had to wait in line to get a spot, and it was crazy. And now it looks like the comedy scene is kind of the same. So, like, you obviously have appeared there.
That's my favorite club, probably.
All right, how did you get there? Because they were describing the old time guys. It was really hard unless that Mitzi sure liked you and put you in a spot. So what is it now?
Mitzi is no longer running the place. I mean, she's passed.
Yes.
But even when I was trying to get in there, I lived in L.A., you know, 17 years ago, and I was trying to break into there. And you would just go to the open mics and maybe get on stage, and then you kind of have to just become famous or either work there a really long time as you work behind the scenes. There's a girl, Punky Johnson, I think is her name, that just became a SNL cast member this season.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking you. In February, she gave me a club soda, like from behind the bar. Like, she was working at the Comedy Store. Like, paying her dues behind the bar, you know, working as a there's guys doing doorman. But for me, I didn't ever want to get a day job there. I just couldn't do that. I was like nannying. So I just moved out of LA eventually because it was too hard to get in there. And then I went and made a career for myself, kind of out of New York. And then by the time I moved back to Los Angeles, I had enough of a career that I was able to get spots there. But they don't just let you up just because you're famous. I mean, it really isn't like that. You people have to vouch for you, and then you have to consistently kill and be a cool person to hang out with.
And you don't have a lot of time to kill, right? When you get a spot.
Well, no, yeah, you do. I mean, you have 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's enough time to kill.
Okay.
You gotta really bring it though. It's like every night could be an audition. I'm comfortable enough there now that I can kind of get up there and take out my notes and kind of mess around, and I don't need it to be like this killer set every single time. But you know, when you're first in there, you can't take any risks. It is just like, it's white knuckling it, just trying to do your best, and it's a lot of pressure. But now it's very comfortable, and I love it there.
Well, you should definitely see this. I don't know if they interviewed for you. It's a long running series. In the first episode, a lot of it's Freddie Prinze and how he wanted to kill John Travolta. When he was hanging out with J.J. Walker and went to Travolta's apartment where Freddie Prinze shot 3 arrows into his door.
Oh, my God.
There's
a lot of history there. It's still it's like a haunted house of Hollywood. It's really cool. There's just all these green rooms that these guys were doing coke off the mirror in there. It's the same table with a mirror on it. It's just there's a lot of drug-addled ghosts. Walking around that place.
Yeah, it's very cool. Listen, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate you coming on. And in Royer's Fort, Sunday night, 2 shows, 5 and 8 at Soul Joel's Outdoors.
Soul Joel's, yep. They got a lot of outdoor shows.
There are free tickets available for the second show. For both shows?
Great.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I actually talked to Joel today, Nikki.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name is Joel. It's really a Joel. Yeah, Joel's the guy.
Does he have soul?
I assume he does.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet him.
All right. We'll talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
All right,
good luck.
Guys.
All right,
bye-bye.
There she is, Nikki Glaser, Comcast Business Hotline. Yep. Soul Joel.
I love her.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's one of my faves.
Yep.
Yeah, that was
I wish
good.
I could go see her.
Well,
I mean, I have plans Sunday.
There you go.
Yeah. Eagles.
So do I.
Henry Hill.
Yeah. Henry Hill, that's a good one.
You and Henry Hill?
Yeah.
Cabin. all right. 610-632-0975. Okay. Oh, this is very interesting. So now this pertains to the Eagles game. Uh-huh. So Alshon is officially out, but guess what? So is Deshaun. You know, I tell you what, the Eagles get their money's worth, don't they? They just get their money's worth. Jesus. Are you serious?
So
yeah. I got a feeling that Deshaun's never going to play again for this team.
So for those keeping up, they've been cutting guys because of roster spots. Deshaun's now going to miss 3 weeks, which means he could have went on IR because IR is only 3 weeks this year, and they could have saved the roster spot for a player that they liked. And Alshon officially should have been on the PUP list, and they would have saved another roster spot. So in addition to all this, Howie is allowing these older guys to let him flush roster spots of guys that are 22, 23 years old so they can protect guys that are over 30. I'm just saying.
The whole year is a freaking mess, is it not?
And this is where I understand that people were rightfully critical of Carson Wentz, and they could continue to be. But imagine you're him and you go into the season thinking you're throwing to X, and you have it for 2 years in a row now, have not had a chance to even do one full game with all your guys. And this year, you also didn't have your own offensive line. There's no way that I know he's always stoic and he always says the right things. And they drafted a quarterback behind. There's just no way he can feel comfortable right now. There's just no way. I don't care. And this is an excuse. No other quarterback is doing that. That's happened to anybody else.
It's a shame. It really is. I mean, listen, he's played well the last couple games. But it's a shame. It's like they got nothing. They got nothing. They have no offensive line in this game, and they're going to have to rely on Fulgham again, which Baltimore has now identified. Like, I'd be startled if he gets close to 10 catches in this game.
Right. And now who are you going to throw? Now your Hightower has to step up. Or Sanders is going to have to do something for four quarters, something he hasn't done so far this year. But you're asking him to do it when they know it's coming now. Because you don't have the counterbalance.
Let me tell you something. If this line is not affected by all this, then I'm taking the Eagles.
Now, last night, there was a moment where it got to 8. And then it snapped right back.
It went back to 7. All right, so now the official word is that Jackson and Alshon are out.
I'm going to look right now.
So what it's got to move the line.
I'm going to look. And I'm going to look at all the books. I'm going to look at multiple books.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it moved a bunch.
It moved.
It's 8.5.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It moved a bunch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I mean, I want to have a Football Friday here and discuss a Football Friday, and I got nothing. Like, what angle do we take with this game now?
Well.
It's going to have to be like a miracle.
Another Fulgham game.
That or.
They can't have two miracles in a row, though.
Two in a row because they're going to key on him. Let's say he has 5 catches for 50 yards. That might be productive against this defense. You're going to need somebody else. This
has to be Ertz.
It has to be Ertz. Ertz has to get 100 yards.
You know, this team has been mismanaged completely.
Yep.
And it's really malpractice with what's going on now with the front office. I had to, rip into them because they're an easy target now. But hey, look at this mess.
Got nobody healthy. And other teams went through the same pandemic. And they're not dealing with all their guys being gone. And you're going to be throwing the quarterback under the bus. That's fine. But give him something. Give him something he can rely on. Right now, Eagle, he's got nothing.
Are you angry about this?
Now, I put it on social media during the interview. It's funny. Most of the responses are like good riddance. I think a lot of fans have turned the page on those two guys.
Well, I'm sure they have. And because we don't like players who don't play. Even though they might not be able to play, we always suspect that guys like this, But here's the bottom line. We're cutting off our noses by our face. Good. They're not playing. You're going to get your ass kicked now. So how do you feel about that? How do you feel about getting your ass kicked?
Right, because now you could get blown out.
Right, good. I don't think they should play. And then you look up and you got what? It's ridiculous. All right, 610-632-0975. Alex in North Philly. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How's it going?
What's going on, Alex?
So I wanted to see what you thought about one linebacker we got that I have seen very little playing time from and I think should be getting a lot more. A guy out of Temple, Sean Bradley.
I haven't seen enough of him. I got a feeling that they don't trust him yet to throw him in the lineup, and so they keep him on special teams. And the other kid,
I thought that at first, too. I thought that at first, too. But then if you watch a lot of the goal line plays that the Steelers had, they threw him in at the line.
Well, they can't do any worse than play the kid. You know, like, what? Who are you preventing playing? I would say yes, play him.
No, I think, listen, I worked for the Temple football team last year. I saw this guy every day at practice.
Yeah, I'm sure he looked good in that capacity, but this is the NFL now. They're grading him out in a different situation where they're watching him practice against pro players. So they might not be confident that he's good enough yet to handle the NFL.
Oh, I get that. But I'm telling you, this guy's got the mentality of he's not afraid to hit either.
At this point, what's the difference? You know, play him at this point. I agree with you.
I know. I think
it's amazing they can't play their third round draft pick. Cannot play him. Took the guy in the third round. Cannot play him.
I know. Gary's looking terrible, and I just think at this point, like you said, what do you have to lose? I mean, the guy's, you know, he's a young, hungry kid, and he's out there, you know, he's playing on special teams, but, you know, the kid's thrilled to be on the field, but at the same time, he would definitely much rather be out on defense.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. And I hear your Temple blood flowing there. But, you know, the bottom line is, listen, they don't have a second-round pick they can play. They don't have a third-round pick they can play. In subsequent years, their second-round pick can't play. That's Klentak-esque. And we said Klentak had to go, And the frustration is, I wonder if the owner takes that same inventory. Because if I own that team, I'd be ticked as hell. Can you use my second round pick or my third round pick? Second round picks in subsequent years, I can't play them? Oh, Holmes. It's ridiculous.
You can't even get them experience and let them take their lumps to hope they get better. Like, you, at least if you could play them some, you say, hey, they're taking their lumps. Next year, they'll be better. Well, they don't even get on the field.
Here's the thing. It's Football Friday. I have to resort to talking about basketball movies at this point. There's no angle. 610-632-0975. I'm angry. I don't know if Eagle fans are. We got latest news. Sean's going to play. Alshon, he was going to play against Pittsburgh. Blip, blip. Nah. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it is 3:31. Mike Missinelli Show. Brian Westbrook joining us at 4 o'clock. You got a chance to maybe win a Brian Westbrook autographed football. We'll tell you how we're going to do that in just a second. It's time to update our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
All right, Mike. Today's poll has, let me tell you how many votes it has. It has 800 votes on it, exactly. Despite the offensive line concerns, do you think the Eagles have what it takes to beat the Ravens on Sunday? 28% say yes, 72% say no. And then we had to add another one because now there's more issues. So the Eagles came into the year relying on Jackson, Jeffrey, and Peters, and all three will miss another game this week. Who is to blame? 15% say the players, 81% say Howie Roseman, 4% say Jeffrey Lurie, 0% say Doug Peterson. So Howie's on the hot seat, as he should be.
All righty. We'll find out.
And now it's going to be, this will be the sixth game. It'll be the fifth different starting offensive line combination in six games, in addition to all the turnover at receiver. I'm just saying, you got different offensive line, different people to throw to every single week. That just doesn't seem optimal when you're playing a really good football
team. It's ridiculous. Frankly, so. I'd say I see 27-6. Two field goals. Kicky boy gets them on the board. And then kicks one third quarter. Because they can't get a touchdown. They might as well get points on the board.
Honestly, I'm going to say something. If Wentz can somehow win this game, not if it's fluky, if they get three turnovers and a kick return, if they can win this game straight up, this could be a top five win in Philadelphia history from a quarterback if he can win this game. With all backups on the offensive line except for one and all backup receivers except for Ertz, you don't even have Goddard in the game.
Yes.
This could be a top five win ever by a quarterback in the city if he can win this week against this team.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my Twitter because I saw an interesting tweet by Shakira today.
Shakira
had a political tweet.
Oh.
She wrote it in Spanish. So I'm going to read it in Spanish and try to translate it.
Okay.
That's coming up.
Okay.
Sorry. I get a little choke here.
You all right?
Yeah, I can get a little water. All right, so let's go back to the phones. Sell! That's like from Trading Places. Wilson, sell! He's going to sell in Queens, New York. What's up, Sal?
Hey, what's up? That's one of my favorite movies, Trading Places. I was trying to call in before you guys beat me to it. I was going to say you guys should do a list about the best basketball players from movies because Teen Wolf was my guy. I was there. I was going to tell you guys to do that kind of poll.
I got news for you. The two best basketball players that have been in basketball movies. Actually, three. Dwayne Martin is absolutely number one.
You guys forgot a movie, by the way. I was going to give you my top five.
All right, you can give me your top five. Dwayne Martin, the best actor, basketball player. Robbie Benson in 101. If you watch the movie, you'll say close second. And then Maris Galanis, Jimmy Chitwood, who can fire.
Listen, Kyle Lowry ain't beating Teen Wolf, though.
Yeah, I guess. The Wolf could play, yeah. I'm not sure Michael J. Fox could play. So it's like kind of funny.
Not Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Talking about that Shaggy Wolf.
Yeah, I got you.
So I just wanted to point out something in the run game and then give you a movie you forgot.
Okay.
As far as the run game, I always felt for the last 2 years it's been highly predictable. I feel like once they get on the center and they hand off, the defense usually gets flowing and it just basically shuts Miles Sanders down unless, you know, he can just use his individual talent. I've been waiting for 2 years for the Eagles to start incorporating draw plays. Finally, they do a draw play, and Miles Sanders rips off for 74 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why Doug Peterson takes so long to incorporate things that are so simple and easy. Plus, once you start doing play action from draw plays, it freezes the defense. And
you got to do other things to set up the draw first, though.
Well, I understand that, but it's something you got to do instead of not at all, because we've done it not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying solely do draw plays, but
no, I get it. You got to time a draw play. Like it's got to be a third and long, but they look for a draw third and long. So you got to set it up with other stuff. So they don't think you're just running a draw there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no, definitely, yeah. Definitely not. Definitely.
Okay.
Give me your top five.
Go ahead.
I got Above the Rim, White Men Can't Jump, Blue Chips, number four, Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg coached the Knicks.
Horrible.
Come on.
That was horrible.
Come on.
That was a horrible movie. Eddie.
Come on. You had real NBA players, real teams, no phony stuff. Come on.
Yeah.
We need more movies like that.
No good. That was no good.
Sunset Park. Come on.
I have to watch that for Sunset Park. Malik Sealy. Man, what a great name.
You got the late Malik Sealy. Yeah, you had cameos from John Starks, Anthony Mason. You know, it wasn't no made-up teams or anything. Real basketball players acting.
Yeah, I got you. But see, the real players, you expect that they're going to play. Like, like a good basketball movie, like, is the unexpected. You know? Like, Ray Allen, we know, could play.
Yeah.
But he acted in that movie. It was pretty good.
Him, Rosario Dawson.
Right. Now, what makes Above the Rim is, like, you didn't know these guys could play.
They could hoop.
All of a sudden, Dwayne Martin could play. And I guess I should put Leon on the list, too.
Because he could hoop.
Because Leon could fire.
He could fire. It looked real.
Yeah, now I don't know what else he could do. But he, because the only thing
he did was fire.
Right.
But he didn't miss.
It was only the camera that had him shooting a rock. But Leon could fire.
He could fire. Dwayne Martin played Division II ball for 4 years.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And then got an invite to Knicks camp.
Dude.
And then, so he, like, played in preseason games and got cut.
Legit.
Yeah,
the way he comes around that screen in the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's textbook.
That square, he can hoop. He can hoop hoop. And then the Wolf. Whoever was in that Wolf suit can hoop.
And you know who else could play? Blue Chips. I don't know the. I don't know if he's a player or not. The guy who played Tony.
Yeah. He could play.
I don't know who he was, but he had game, and he wasn't a. Like, you knew the other guy.
You know, Penny and Shaq could play.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, where's Tony come from? Is he an actor who could play?
I never looked, because there wasn't IMDb when that came out, and then I never got around to.
We
got to
investigate who Tony was.
Yeah, because he could play. We'll find it.
All right, let's go to Mark in Belmar. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
How we doing, guys?
What's up, Mark?
I mean, at this point, Howie Roseman's past the hot seat, man. I'm not saying this week. I know it's going to take some time. Lori's never going to pull the trigger on him like that, but these drafts, they're too valuable to let him draft again. I mean, this week I'm more scared of Patrick Queen than Lamar Jackson, especially with this offensive line that we're putting in front of Carson. Mm-hmm. Like the kid's got 42 tackles, 2 sacks, I think 2 forced fumbles, a touchdown. Like he's more than legit, and we just totally ignored the linebacking position, which is just it's just bizarre.
Yes, and that's a Howie philosophy. Now there are, I think Adam Kaplan has said this. That Adam Kaplan said that Jim Schwartz wanted to draft Murray.
He said Kenneth Murray and Jeremy Chin, yeah.
Yes. And it was overruled by Howie.
Which is, it's just bizarre. That's what I'm saying. We can't, it all started with the Whiteside pick, because then we missed on a wideout last year and we had to pick one. We felt pressured to pick one in the first round this year, not to just get a wide receiver, but it was just everybody wanted a wide receiver. They wanted Judy. Mm-hmm. They wanted Lamb. They just wanted a wide receiver, and he just fumbled and got Rager. There were so many available players, even at 53. Like, we're going to have to see J.K. Dobbins and Patrick Queen and even a guy like Duvernay that we just passed on because there was too many players available. Howie wanted to make the smart selection and by picking Hurts. And it's just going to put us in – I don't see anything promising for the Eagles in the future. Howie brings these veterans back, overpays them, and then we're in a cap situation next year, $60 million over. I mean, everything points back to Howie. Every loss gets exploited. I mean, we got these young kids playing – You can't blame them. They're 22, 23 years old. Yeah. They're getting their first starts in the league, so obviously you're not expecting too much from them, but you can damn well blame Howie Roseman for putting them in that position.
Yeah.
And one thing about, like, Mike, though, I'm 23 years old, and that definitely got me into the NBA, for sure. Like Mike. Love that movie.
All right, bro.
All right, have a good one.
By the way, now I'm thinking of... somebody brought this up to me, the one-on-one movie that I'm touting, the old school one-on-one movie.
Yeah.
Melanie Griffith, first movie, I believe, as a hitchhiker that he picks up as he's driving from from Colorado to California.
Does any...
A young Melanie Griffith.
Does it just stay platonic?
Yes, he's very innocent, this kid.
Oh.
And so she says something, if you touch me, I'll scream rape or whatever it is. So she was a whack job.
Oh, okay.
But he took her to California. The young Melanie Griffith.
I've never seen it.
I think you'd
like one-on-one.
I'll find it. I found the information on Tony.
Oh, you did? What's up with Tony?
Yeah, so his name, Anthony C. Hall. He was a college dropout. He was hooping at a Hollywood YMCA.
Ah.
And he was playing against Denzel, used to go there, a bunch of different actors. Arsenio used to go there. Somebody saw him and he looked legit, but he was apparently doing well according to the biography on his IMDb. He was doing well hooping, got cast there, and then he ended up being in a bunch of Reebok commercials hooping, Dr. Pepper commercials hooping.
There you
hooping.
Go. Look at that. It's a success story.
Yeah, so he ended up being a working actor.
But yeah, he wasn't bad in the movie either, if I remember.
It all started from him hooping at the YMCA and somebody in Hollywood.
I'll be damned.
And the right person saw him playing ball.
See, that could have been you.
Could have been.
Did somebody discover you at the YMCA? Cast you in Blue Chips?
You know, if I had went out there and been willing to live with 27 people and go do stand-up.
Yeah.
And then those people, when they're like that, they shower at the gym because they don't want to wait for the bathroom.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then they do that. I was never really about that life.
Nah.
Nah.
Could have been playing against Denzel, man.
Right. Denzel
could have discovered you.
That's probably my bad.
It might be your bit, the one regret.
Yeah.
It's never too late.
Because I would have chased the stand-up thing, but then the hooping would have been, well, you know.
You would have chased the stand-up thing. You would have been like Jay Leno was sleeping there. Jay Leno and No Place to Stay. He slept on the back stairs of the Comedy Store.
And that's how I knew I didn't love it. Because I was
you
not.
Couldn't do that.
I wasn't doing that. Then somebody mentioned living with like six other guys in like a two-bedroom in the Bronx. So you could be on stage every day in New York rather than have to take the train all the way up.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I got a job. I was working the radio. I was like, I got a job. I don't want to go live with six other people in a two-bedroom in the Bronx. And So that means, to them, it means I didn't love it. So it means I didn't love it.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, I love it, but like I also love like having a bed.
We can't have everything.
A bed? A bed?
Well, you know, guys that made it big didn't have the bed even.
Yeah.
You know, Leno don't have the bed. Letterman apparently lived in a apartment across the street from the Comedy Store. It was like no bigger than a coat closet.
He lucked out, though. His story, he like struck gold.
Well,
Letterman.
She liked him because she Mitzi Shore owned the club. She
was
whiny. She, I like you. You're from Indiana. I'm from Wisconsin. So that's how he survived.
But he didn't take the long road like a lot of other comedians.
Yeah, he just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
He was his weatherman.
Yeah, he got lucky.
On the local news.
Just drove out there and was like, you know what, I'm just going to do this.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. This is a quick break. It's a 3-minute break. Brian Westbrook coming up at 4. Mike Missinelli show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:47. I'm Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Westbrook coming up 4 o'clock. You got a chance to. So here's the way it's going to work. At the end of your call, we're going to ask you a simple question. We're going to give you 30 seconds for you to tell us why you deserve an autographed Brian Westbrook ball. And he's going to say yay or nay.
Yep.
And if it's more than one, I guess we'll have to rank them, right?
Yep. And it'll be up to Brian. So it can't be
Brian. So
can't be cruel Tyrone Lannister. It can't be Mike Softy Natalie. It'll be up to Brian.
All right. And we'll be taking notes on who said what.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll organize it. All right. Let's go to Anthony in Jersey. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Yeah. Hi, Mike.
What's up, man?
First-time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, and I just have issues with all these people who are bashing Jim Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to reel off a couple of stats for you.
Okay.
I mean, the Eagles' defense so far this year ranked 16th in the league in allowing passing yardage per game, 14th in passing yardage per attempt, 6th in the league in allowing yards per completion, and the 3rd in the league in sacks. So, I mean, you know, why is he on such a hot seat with all our...
You gave me okay numbers. They're not world-beater numbers, but you know that the last thing he's done is kind of shaping the way people feel. Like, if he has a good game against the Ravens, then we're going to look at him differently, but he looked like he made a really bad fundamental mistake, and he did not even take any responsibility for it last week. So that's what people remember. You know, they're not going to say, oh, don't worry about that situation where you had Nate Gary on a guy who burned his ass for a touchdown. Like, they're not going to look at him favorably after that play like that.
Yeah, right. I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And my other point was, you know who Alfred Blue is?
Alfred Blue. I've heard the name. What is he? Is he a football player?
Yeah, he's a running back.
Yes, okay, yeah, Alfred Blue, yes.
He's 6'2", 235 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's fumbled twice in 673 lifetime carries.
He played with the Texans, didn't he, for a while?
Yeah, he was with the Texans.
And he's available, and you want the Eagles to pick him up?
Yeah, he's a free agent. We can have him for the veteran minimum.
Yeah. He's on the street. I guess you can bring him in.
I mean,
oh, there's a reason he's on the street.
Even just for short yardage.
Did he do something, Tyrone?
No.
Well, he's on the street probably because a lot of people think he can't play anymore. So I don't know. How old is he?
I think he's 28 or 29.
He's 29. He might be one of those backs that the NFL teams look like and go, he's got nothing left. I don't know.
But wouldn't you rather have him running the
ball? I don't know. I don't know.
Instead of Carson Wentz?
I don't know what he is at this point, so I don't know if I'd rather have him or not.
Yeah, if you bring him in, I mean, you have nothing to lose if he doesn't have anything.
Yeah, I would think that the player personnel people, the player personnel people probably have an opinion on whether he can play or not. He didn't play last year either, so I'm sure that the opinion is he can no longer play. But you bring him in for a workout, I guess you can do that.
150 carries, 499 yards, 3.3 yards a carry. 2 years ago. I'd work out somebody else. I wouldn't even bother with a workout.
He's probably slowed down to the point where they've written him off. So
a year before that, 3.7 yards a carry. His best ever was 4.2. You're talking about 3.1 yards. Like,
I don't know why my man is so high on Alfred Blue, but
like he doesn't fumble, but I mean, I can find a guy who might get me 3.4 yards a carry that doesn't fumble versus a guy that gets me 3.3.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the...
Maybe he's related to him, or maybe they're tight.
Heavily desire Alfred Blue, but what do I know? Listen, they pay those guys to be player personnel people. You want to pay me? I'll give you my opinion on Alfred Blue.
Yeah, he didn't get into a game. He was released by the Jags last October.
Uh-huh.
Spent full 12 months, and everybody's just saying, no.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Brian Westbrook coming up at 4 o'clock and a chance to win a Brian Westbrook autographed football if you tell us why you deserve an autographed football. That's going to be fun. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is 4 o'clock. Mike Missinelli Show. Football Friday. Well, Friday is usually a big time right here on the Mike Missinelli Show, but our enthusiasm has been dwindled a little bit. And it's because the news coming out that they're not going to have near close to a full contingent of players on the offensive line, and now two of their veteran wide receivers who were supposed to add something are not. They're both out. But anyway, Football Friday on the Fanatic is driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. And the 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. And they also bring us our regular Friday guests from 4 to 5 every Friday, talking football and other things. He's the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. Hello, Brian Westbrook.
Good afternoon, Mikey. Miss, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. We saw the beautiful tweet videos you put out there today of little Brian running down a street in Brooklyn and looking like he's got a little bit of giddy up.
Well, I'll tell you this. The main reason that we do that first thing in the morning is just to get the energy out. I mean, we're in the house all day doing homeschooling. You got to get the energy out. And you know, he is kind of fast. His sister, my oldest daughter, Bria, she's so fast.
Oh.
She's so athletic and wants nothing to do with athletics. Absolutely nothing. I give her a basketball. She doesn't want to play with that. I give her a soccer ball, all these different things. She doesn't even care about it. All she wants to do is put on makeup and dresses. That's it.
That's all right.
There we are.
She's a little girl. Now, so little B that has some sports shops in him, you think?
Oh, yeah, man, he loves sports. Uh-huh. He loves sports. He's still lacking a little bit of coordination. We play basketball. We play baseball as well, Mike. I know you like this. I'm throwing the ball to him. He has no interest in catching a ball. He doesn't even look at the doggone ball. It's a shame.
Well, okay. No,
he may have to run track. That's it.
He may get the hang of that. All right, Brian, let's talk about this game because I don't know. It's hard for people to be up here because now we know that Sean will not play. Alshon will not play. They're starting Lane Johnson is out, so they're starting two novices, right guard, right tackle. Mailata, you're going to have to count on still carrying the mail. And you know that the Fulgham is going to be identified by a pretty good defense. So how do you see this game?
Well, you laid it out perfectly. I mean, it's going to be an almost impossible game to win. You're playing a much better football team that is one of the best and most well-coached teams in the league. They have one of the best athletes in our league in Lamar Jackson. And more importantly than what Lamar is able to do, they have a physical, nasty, any negative contact, any negative word that you can think of a defense, they have that. Though they have everything that you would want in a defense, great cornerbacks, physical play up front, blitzing linebackers. They're going to come after you on every single play as far as in attacking the quarterback. This is just a bad situation for a team that is not playing very good when you look at what the Eagles have done all season long.
You know, there's some mismanagement here as well because, you know, these guys that they thought were coming back have taken up roster spots here that they could have used. So, I don't know, maybe other football teams mess up like this. The front office and Howie have messed this situation up.
Well, there's two things. So, when you talk about guys coming back from injury, there has to be great communication between your general manager, Howie, and the training staff. And, you know, there's been a lot of turnover in that training staff over the last few years, and getting guys back on time versus having extended time in the training room has been an issue over the last few years over there at the NovaCare Center. So I just think that these things kind of align with what has happened in the past. All these things at some point come to a head, and I think this may be the situation where now you're counting on guys to get healthy that you're expecting to come back, and they're saying, nah, another week. And Mike, I was just telling Tyrone this. I remember mentioning to you guys, when your team is bad, when you have a bad record and things just don't look good for you, more guys get hurt. I mean, and it just happens like that. More guys get hurt, and it takes longer for guys to come back. And when you talk about games that you want to come back in, playing against this physical, nasty team on the offensive side and defensive side of the ball, this is not one of those games that you want to make your first appearance. This is not one of those games where you're saying, okay, I've been injured for a week or so, or I'm just playing dinged up, and I want to play against this team. This is a nasty football team. And this is not the team that you want to play against. To Tyrone's point that he pointed out to me a little bit earlier, he said you want to come back when they play the Giants because they're not going to be as physical. They're not going to be as imposing. They're going to be a team that you can have a little bit more success against, not against the Ravens because they're such a good football team.
You know, it's funny because that doesn't resonate with the average fan, what you just said. It is the reality of it. But the average fan looks at that like, what? Well, you can pay to play, and you're going to jake it because you don't want to play against a tough team? I mean, that kind of stuff goes on in the NFL.
Oh, it goes on in the NFL, and it's real. It happens every single season. It happens on a lot of different teams. And I'm not accusing any of these guys that are hurt and saying this, but I'm just telling you, that goes on inside locker rooms. It goes on teams every single year. And that's just what happens. That's what happens in the NFL, no matter what season it is. That happens across the league.
Well, let me ask you this as a former player, because I don't know what the dynamic of this is. Because all football players in it together, they respect the fact that it's a tough sport, they get banged up. When do guys start to roll their eyes at stuff like this?
Well, as far as guys coming back,
like looking at, dude, you're going to be out again. Like, does that happen where players question other players and their dedication?
Well, they'll never come out and say just outright and say, "Hey, you should be back already." They'll never come out, but they certainly would give you that look, like, "Hey, you're hurt again, or you're still in the training room. You're not coming back." Because you got to remember, everybody is fighting to play. Everybody is fighting to get out there to help your team win. And when you're not doing that, then you're holding the team back a little bit. So, of course, there's always a little gentle push to get you back out there. But, you know, there are guys that will look at you a little sideways and say, "Hey, you know, we really need you out there." They'll make comments like that. "Man, we wish you had you out there this last game because you would have been able to do these things. You would have been able to do that." it would be good to get some of these older vets back out there. That would be good for this football team. Right now, because of these injuries, I would say that Doug Peterson, his staff, they can't call the game like they want to offensively or defensively because of some of these injuries. Having some of these veterans, older veterans that you were counting on from the very beginning back would make a huge difference in some of the calls that you see from Doug as well as Jim Schwartz.
The line, by the way, with the latest news on who's not going to play, has now zoomed up to 9.5 from 7.5, a quick 2-point jump.
Mike, it might get uglier than that. I mean, here we are with a team, and this is what the Baltimore Ravens do to you. They out-physical you, and then if they can out-physical you in the run game, then they just start pounding it more and more and more. And then you get more Dobbins, you get more Mark Ingram. Of course, now that you try to stop those guys, that's when Lamar Jackson keeps it. And let's just say you stop all three of those guys, that's when he play-action passes and throws the ball to Hollywood Brown for a 50-yard gain or to Mark Andrews down the middle of the field because your linebackers are stuffed up. This is just one of those teams that you play against. You're like, man, this, we know it's going to be a tough, physical, nasty game. I just remember, I'm thinking back, and it's funny because a lot of people on Twitter and social media have been kind of laughing at this. There was a play, and I know you remember the game. The play, you remember when we played Baltimore down
well,
in Baltimore?
Well, hold on a second. Hold on to that thought. All right, because I think I know where you're going. Okay. Are you going with the game that Five was benched?
Five was benched.
Absolutely. All right, hold on a second. I want you to hear because I'm glad you brought that up. Cause it's perfect. See the way this show just works magically.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrone, kick this little video audio.
Bob still has it. Throws it in the end zone. It's intercepted by Ed Reed. He gets away from Cobb and he is still going down the sideline. Trying to cut him off. Reed needs one more block. He goes all the way. Touchdown.
Is that the play you're thinking of?
That's the exact play. Now, here it is. I'm glad that the announcer didn't mention my name because on that play, I ran all the way from the goal line all the way to around the 50, whatever it was, to try to catch Ed Reed and not get to him. And I'm just trying to push him out of bounds. I had no energy left. I literally gave it all just to get to that point to catch him. And I just try to push him out of bounds.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason why we hooked that up. Because I wanted to see if you would admit that with the most feeble attempt at a tackle ever in the history of NFL football.
I was showing my wife that play today. And she was like, what was that? I was like, you know what? To be honest with you. There, in my mind, I think I can tackle, but I remember, like, every now and then there'll be turnovers, interceptions, whatever it is. And every opportunity I had to tackle someone, I remember Ken Hamlin, who was a safety for the Cowboys, he got an interception, and I went to tackle him. He ran me over. I mean, I just wasn't a very good tackler. At that point, I remember it like it was yesterday, because this is one of those plays in your career you always remember. I'm running all the way down there. I finally get there. And when you're there in the moment, I'm like, okay, what the heck do I do? How do I tackle this guy? I didn't know what to do.
So I just it's actually hysterical. We wanted to play to bust your stones. But there is something to be said because you did have to come a long way for that because you were up. You were at the goal line. And also that happens like out of nowhere. So you got to chase it down because you're one of the few guys with speed that can chase that down. But my man, you whiffed. It was like a hanging curveball that you whiffed on. That play.
It looked worse than it actually felt. I'm trying to tell you, because I watch it today, I'm always cringing like, oh my God, here comes this play. Here comes this play again. But, I mean, it happens. I feel embarrassed that John Runyon comes to the sideline, and I'm laughing because now I'm laughing. He comes to the sideline and says, well, why didn't you just take out his legs? I was like, well, why didn't you try to catch him? Why didn't you do that? You got so much advice of how to tackle. Why don't you show me how to catch him? I'll do that.
Let me ask you a question about that game, because that is one of the more notorious games. The Five gets benched, and the camera's on him with he's got the coat on him and all that. He doesn't look happy at all. What reaction did the team have to that?
I don't know that the team had a huge reaction, and I don't know that anyone was shocked. He was having a bad game. The offense, defense, everybody was having a bad game. So I don't know that anybody was shocked. I don't know that there was a quarterback controversy because up to that point, we hadn't seen that much from Kevin Cobb to make us feel like he was going to just take Donovan's spot. And so I think everybody was just like, this is one of those games. Let's not even watch the tape type of game. I mean, there are games where you go in, you say, okay, let's learn from this loss. We got to figure these things out. And then there were games like that where you got beat up so bad, out physical by a nasty football team like the Ravens, where you say, let's not even look at that. We can't even coach off of this film. That's how bad it was. And that was that type of game. It, you know, for the guys in the locker room, I don't know that it was a huge deal. It probably was a much bigger deal for the media than it was for the football team.
Wasn't the next game the Thanksgiving game that they came back with McNabb on and he had a monster game? Was that the timing of it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Versus the Cardinals.
Yeah, because I remember there was the controversy all week about whether they're going to put him back, and they did.
Yeah, yeah. Thursday night game, yes. We ended up winning that game. I believe that year we ended up playing the Cardinals in the NFC Championship game. Too.
Yes.
So, I mean, he don't even remind me of that game. Came back and played well.
You know,
he played the Cardinals in the NFC Championship, and somebody threw it over your head on that last drive.
Yeah. Some bad throws.
This could be a bad omen.
What's
could Wentz maybe not play bad, but he's getting hit so much that they put Hurts in the game, and then Wentz comes back on Thursday night football once again. I can't rule that out.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's always a possibility depending on what this game's going to be like. But Brian, then before we get to the phone calls, and we have an interesting thing we're going to do today where you're going to actually judge a caller who tells you why they deserve a Brian Westbrook autographed football. Are you ready for that challenge?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. They're going to make a 30-second testimonial on why they deserve a Brian Westbrook autographed football.
This is what they were here while they're talking.
Yeah, there you go. But before we get to the calls, I want to ask you if you're putting the, now that you're so thin, what possible kind of offensive game plan can you put together to put some points on the board? Because I mean, I can't see where they're going to, you know, it's going to be difficult for them to put points on the board in this game. How would you do it?
Well, let me just tell you, not just points. Let me tell you the big scheme of things, and this is absolutely impossible to do. And this is what every team that plays the Ravens tries to do. You have to get up big early. So that means you got to start very, very fast, something that we haven't quite mastered this season. So you got to try to find a way to start fast. And in order to do that, because they're a pretty good run defense, you're going to have to throw the ball. The unfortunate part about that is they're a really good pass defense. And, of course, we don't have any good receivers outside of Travis Fulgham. So, I mean, we're in a bit of a place where it's going to be hard to figure out how to attack this team because do you want to hand the ball off to Miles Sanders 15 times in the first half and hope that he's running into that defensive line, that defensive linebacker group is going to work? Probably not. But I certainly don't want Carson Wentz to be out there throwing the ball 15 times, 20 times in the first half. I don't want him to do that either against that secondary with Marlon Humphreys and Chuck Clark as well as Peters. I mean, it's just a hard situation. You know, I don't know which way to go. This is one of those tough games where usually I have a way to try to figure out how we can attack this team. I don't have a great source of insight as far as how to attack this team. All I can tell you is that we got to find a way to start fast. And after that, I don't know where it goes from
there. So if you win the toss, you take the ball.
And now you're saying, Carson, go find a way to get the ball down the field. That's the only way to do it. Let's go find a way to get the ball down the field. That means that, of course, Sanders has to be involved. I believe Fulgham is probably going to draw either Peters and maybe Humphrey, both of which I don't really want to throw the ball against. That means Zach Gertz is going to have to come to play. That means all the other players, Ward, all the other guys that can pitch in and help, maybe Rodgers, those guys are going to have to make a big play. This is just one of those games that on paper, when you look on paper, there's no way to figure out how to win it. No matter how you look at it, you can look at it sideways, upside down, inside out. The only good thing that can happen in this game is you get a bunch of turnovers and somehow you get some penalties downfield because of the aggressive play of the cornerback. If you do that, that shortens the field. Now we can move the ball a little bit differently. To me, that's the only way that we can find a way to win against this.
And what a time! What a time for them to let in fans for this baby. I wonder if fans are all set to go. There they go. Yeah. You know, we'll see.
Well, Mike, let's hold on for a second. Do you think that the fans will give that a little bit of
extra excitement.
I don't think there are enough fans. There's a smattering. It's like how much of a difference?
When you watch the Kansas City Chiefs game, they have fans there. You can hear them. You can hear the fans screaming and yelling a little bit. I don't know that.
Yeah, do they need the fans? Do you think they need the fan energy? I mean, this team needs the fan energy.
We do.
All right, here's the deal. We're going to go to the phones. And now, if you like it, just give us a, you know, I kind of like it. And we'll write it down. We're going to chart all these. And in the end, you're going to be able to determine what you like, who was the best.
Yes, for the people out there, you still have to make your sports point.
Yes.
And if you want to, we will start the clock, and you will have your 30 seconds. You can't call in just to give the 30 seconds testimony. That's an automatic no.
Correct. All right, let's start off with Casey in Harrisburg. Casey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian Westbrook.
How we doing, guys?
What's up, Casey?
Not much. You guys are talking about this is going to be a top five win for the Eagles history if they win this. This will probably go down as top five win in NFL history if the Eagles win this game. If you watch last game, Wentz, you know, scrambling out of the pocket and almost getting murdered against the Steelers. If you do that against the Ravens, we're going to be seeing Jalen Hurts a lot this game.
It might be.
They just have way too much speed, and who would have thought that Matt Pryor being out is a huge loss for the Eagles?
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. And it's come to a point where...
You don't like Jermone Brown?
Jermone Brown, yep.
Jermone.
Yeah. But 2017 draft, who are we talking about the most out of one or two players from that draft? Who are we talking about most?
2017?
Yep.
JJ?
Nate Gary.
Oh, Nate Gary.
The only player still, other than Barnett, that is worth anything. Fourth round, Donnell Pumphrey. Can you believe that?
Yeah. This
is a huge issue. This is like with the Phillies. You build, you know, the team through the draft and you sign players.
It's a monster issue. It really is.
In that 2017 when they took Pumphrey, you could have had Cook, Mixon, Kamara, Hunt, Carson, Eckler. And I like Sanders, but just those list of names right there, and they took Pumphrey.
Yeah, listen, we know that, like, forget the Pumphrey. The 2-3 this year can't play. And in subsequent years couldn't play. So you're talking about four players that should be involved heavily in some kind of winning effort.
Yeah. Well, wasn't some of those years a Joe Douglas draft? Wasn't he responsible for some of those?
We never knew who exactly was responsible for the actual pick, but he was supposed to give great influence. You know, we got Joe Douglas. Oh, troubles are over. All right, let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mikey Miss, Brian.
What's up, Dave?
Brian, once again, you hit the nail right on the head. Yes, at this point in time, the Ravens are a better and more complete club than the Eagles. But this is a good time for them to mail in a clunker. AFC team coming to an NFC team. They're going to be the victim of the Mike Missinelli ebb and flow of a schedule. And yes, the Eagles lead wire to wire. They control the football. The 7,500 fans are going to sound like 75,000 fans. I like the Eagles comfortably in this game.
I think I don't know. I got to see your medicine cabinet. I swear to God, there's something going wrong, man. There actually is. You're going deeper and deeper into insanity, Dave. I hate to tell you. I got to help you out. I think I need to visit.
Oh, okay. Can I switch this up?
Yeah,
Brian,
certainly.
We talk about the lack of athletic linebackers here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and just clear the air for me and other fans. You played in 2007. You played with these four linebackers. They were track stars / basketball stars: Gokong, Bradley, Jordan, and Gaither. Now, obviously, is there a downside to having athletic linebackers? Are they like the be all and end all, or what are their shortcomings?
Well, you want to mix between athletic and physical linebackers. The thing, I mean, if you had a way to do it. You want a guy that can run around and make physical, nasty, aggressive tackling. The other thing that we had on that football team was a really good front four that kept the offensive linemen off of the linebackers. Right now, what I'm seeing is our front four who are playing pretty decently, but the offensive linemen are always on top of our linebackers. And our linebackers being fast and a little bit, you know, not as big, they have no way of getting off of those linebackers. I mean, off of those offensive linemen. So now when the running back comes through the hole, our linebackers are already blocked. They don't disengage and get off. And so that's the downside of having smaller or faster, quicker linebackers that aren't as physical. That's our problem. We don't disengage. We get blocked. And once we get blocked, we're done. They're out of the play completely. You have to find a way to get off and try to make a play. We haven't figured that out quite yet.
Dave, against my better judgment, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell us why you deserve the football.
Well, it's very simple. If Brian Westbrook played five more years in the league, he'd be right up there statistically with Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton. This man could also snatch a quarter off the top of a backboard. He also was an unbelievable base stealer in playing college baseball. And plus, he's the fourth greatest Eagle ever. When can I get my ball?
Yeah, I think you misjudged the baseball thing.
Hey, listen. Do not.
Were you a base stealer?
The truth to get in the way of a good story. This is a great story.
He created two different chapters for you.
I appreciate that, Dave.
Yeah,
I will tell you this about baseball, Mike. In the middle of my career, I got approached by a Philly scout, and he said, "You need to come out for baseball right now." He said, "You can make millions of dollars playing baseball." This was when I was at the prime of my football career. I said, "Well, how? I haven't played baseball since I was in high school." He said, "All we need you to do is be a base stealer. If we can get somebody on base, and I need you to get from first base to third base, if you can do that, you can play for us." And in my mind, the wheels start turning.
Well, listen,
made it to the baseball.
No question in my mind, you could have been a pinch runner and got from first to third. But then when you got in the batter's box, then what would you have done?
Could I have made millions doing that?
Nah,
I got to keep playing football then.
You'd be worse than Jordan with the bat.
What? I'd be way better than Michael Jordan. He's long arms, long legs. He wasn't a good hitter. I'm short and squatty.
You may have been short to the ball. You would have needed to play a while to get the hang of that game.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Anyway, let's take a break. On the other side, I am out. It is your picks versus Tyrone picks. I'm in a slump. I went 0-3. I take a seat on the bench. I watched the game for at least a week. I am 5-7 right now. You are 9-2-1. Tyrone's got to bring me back, and that's coming up after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's the music. I'm out. I'm relaxed. I have no pressure on me at all today. Westbrook riding high with his selections. Here are the fearless NFL selections for the week. Brian Westbrook compiling a 9-2-1 record after going 2-1 last week. I offered. I'm 5-7. So I have delegated my picks to Tyrone Johnson to bring me back, get me out of this slump. But Brian, we'll start with you.
You know, Mike, last week you jinxed me. You picked the same team as me, the Dallas Cowboys, and jinxed me. They should have won that game by more points than they did. But that's
crying about that's a 2-1 week. He's getting insufferable now. All right.
You know,
you don't have to worry about me this week. It's all Tyrone. So go ahead with your selections.
Here's what I did. I thought about what would Mike do. Here are the things that I think Mike, the normal Mike, not this bad Mike that we've been dealing with, what the normal Mike Missinelli would do. And this is my picks I came up with. We're going to start in Carolina. And this game started as a three-point, as Carolina Panthers as a three-point favorite because they've been playing well with Teddy Bridgewater. Now it's down to a one-and-a-half-point favorite. I think the Chicago Bears win this game in Carolina. Nick Foles, their quarterback, outright. Outright!
So disrespectful to the Bears that they're not a favorite against that team. Anyway.
I don't know why.
All right, so you're going to take the Bears outright. All right.
Yep. And the second game is out in San Francisco. They play the Rams. This game started as the 49ers being three-point favorites. It swung all the way to now the Rams are the three-point favorite. I think the Rams win that thing big. They go out there and beat up on the 49ers, the division rival. They win that thing by more than 3 points. I'm taking the Rams in that game. They win it big.
Yeah, I like that one. All right, go ahead.
Last game, and everybody has been on this whole Tom Brady thing. You know, they have a great team down there. This is a great matchup between the Green Bay Packers and Tampa Bay. It started as favorites, Tampa Bay being 3 point favorites. Now the line has swung to Green Bay being a 1 point favorite. I think Green Bay runs away with this thing against Tampa Bay. Even though Tampa Bay has a good defense, I think Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers run away with this thing. So I'm going Green Bay there as well.
The legend game and Green Bay, that line would tell you Green Bay. All right, so your selections are Bears getting a point ahead, but you say they're outright against Carolina. The Rams will rout the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers as a little favorite against Tampa Bay. All right. We'll see. Tyrone, it's up to you.
Yes. All right. I start off in college.
Oh, he's going college.
Starting off college in the ACC. I'm going down to Miami to the U. 13.5-point favorites against a dreadful Pitt Panthers. I think their offense, don't let the Clemson game fool you. Miami's offense is very real. They're going to destroy that team and cover the 13.5.
Take the Canes. Yes. All right.
All right. The next one is another Mikey misrule. So Mike's not making the picks, but the Mikey misrule. The Cardinals open as 3-point underdogs against the Cowboys. All of a sudden, a 4-point swing, and now the Cardinals are 1-point favorites against Dallas on Monday Night Football. That tells me all I need to know. I like the Cardinals -1 to beat the Cowboys in that one. And then the third one is the bad teams this year in the NFL, the Eagles might be one of them, they've been really bad. The Jets are as bad as it gets, and the situation only got worse this week. Yes, they're 9-point underdogs against the Dolphins. I don't care. The Dolphins are going to rout them. Take Dolphins -9 to destroy the dreadful Jets. And maybe that coach finally gets up out of there.
You imagine that the Dolphins are a 9.5-point favorite against them? Oh, my God. They are dreadful.
So three favorites, Miami -13.5, Cardinals -1 over Dallas, and Dolphins -9 against the Jets.
All righty. Well, you know, I need a 3-0 versus an 0-3. And Wes, see, here's the thing. The betting gods are about to smite him.
Yeah.
You know?
And he went with Nick Foles.
He's getting a little too cocky.
A little bit.
All right. Let's get back to our phones. Let's go to Duke in West Philly. Duke, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Duke.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Brian Westbrook. Thank you. Look, Eagles are done. Dudley Do-Right has lost his horse. They're not going to win more.
Dudley Do-Right?
Yeah, damn. Dudley needs to go. Him and his... You ever play professional football?
Ah, you didn't like that.
He could have played JV football as much as he played.
You're down on the coach.
And definitely down on the coach. This is the first year that I have ever betted against the Eagles. First year. The team just doesn't have it. They don't have a spirit. They don't have the players. Mm-hmm. They got to get rid of the GM and the coach. They both got to go. It's time.
Both are going to survive. I hate to break it to you there, Duke. They're not going anywhere.
Well, I'm always going to root for the Eagles. Sometimes money changes things. I'm definitely taking Baltimore in this one.
You guys
picked all my teams on for my parlay. I hope Brian's right this time.
Well,
he's been killing me in the past.
Brian's been great. Brian's having an all-star year, man. He's 9-2-1. I don't know what picks you've been using.
No, I'm talking about last year.
Last year? Well, you know, gotta tell you. Hey, Duke, do you want a shot at this football? You gotta tell me. You got 30 seconds to tell me why you deserve an autographed Brian Westbrook football.
I will. I've been an Eagles fan through thick and thin from at least 1970. I've been through Kotite, Ray Rose, the man of France. I've cried at least 10 times. I cried the day I saw that boy, what's his name, Bryce Prop, hit Randall Cunningham in the knee. I knew he was done. That was a Super Bowl year. I cried when Andy Reid blew it against New England.
All right, that'll do it, Duke. All right, hold on a second. Now, that was pretty good because he had a lot of history in there and he spoke with passion.
Those are real tears.
And he went the man in France, which was a good reference.
The brain.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. We got Duke is in the running, I think. Brian, do you like that?
I like that because it takes a lot for a man to admit that he cries.
Yep.
It takes a lot. And even if it's over football, I appreciate that strong emotion. They're pulling at my heartstrings a little bit here.
All right. I got Duke on hold, so we'll get all his info because right now he looks like he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so we'll take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll still mix in some calls here with B. West, who's with us till 5 o'clock. The Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All righty. But yeah, our last caller, Duke, also had a... Dudley Do Right reference in there. It's pretty cool. All over that. Mm-hmm. Dudley Do Right, of course, always rescuing Nell, tied to the train tracks by Snidely Whiplash. That would never fly today.
No.
Couldn't do that today. Not even a cartoon.
Nope.
All right, let's get back to the phones. We got a Ty in West Philly. Ty, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ty?
Hey, what's going on, Mike and Brian?
How you doing, Ty?
I'm doing all right, Mike. I just wanted to let you know that I look forward to listening to your show every day when I'm driving home from work.
Well, I appreciate that, Ty. It's nice of you to say.
But I have some points from the earlier segment. I wanted to say I just think that Zach Ertz should go down the field more, and that would sort of confuse the safeties, you know, and that would help us create, you know, mix up the defense.
Well, that plays right into the stat that we talked about with Hembo yesterday, where the Ravens are weak, they are weak on a tight end down the field.
Right. And then my last point was the basketball movie.
Yes.
Coach Carter.
It's one of my favorite. I had that sixth, I think, on my list.
Yeah, Carter is my favorite one.
All right,
and
man.
And my last one, I just wanted to, you know, do Brian Westbrook ball, go for the Brian Westbrook ball.
Oh, yes. So you got 30 seconds now to tell us why you deserve an autographed Brian Westbrook. Well,
all right. I went to Imhotep Charter High School, and I played on the first football team. So we played JV and varsity. And I was a little chubby when I was younger, and then I lost some weight. And then they moved me. I was center, then they moved me to tight end. And then when I was tight end, I got 36, and I got that number, and I kept that number until I stopped playing football.
Oh, well, there you go. And you did it in respect to Brian Westbrook.
Nope.
No. All you had to do was say yes.
He said no. He did it in respect to the big back Jerome Bettis.
So thumbs down there, Brian?
I'm going to go thumbs down on that one. I mean, he had me going. I was ready to say, Ty is the one.
My man, you played it so wrong there.
He had it on his silver platter.
He did. All he said was, yep, Mr. Westbrook was my hero.
Yes, I loved him. I watched every play.
Yeah, he would have qualified. He was right there.
Oh, my God.
He didn't really want that football. I guess he
Mike,
wanted
you
to
teed it up for him.
I did tee it up for him.
I guess he wanted.
He said, nope.
Hey, Brian, can you introduce me to the bus, please? I'll get football from him.
Like, this was my friend. Send me straight to the bar.
And even I think that's disrespectful. And I love getting shots at O'Brien. That's over the line.
Oh, that's Chris so in wrong. Philly. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Yo, Mike.
What's up, Chris?
Oh, man, I thought I had lost that ball, man. I said, wow, I definitely lost, man. He said, no. I said, oh, my God, what are you doing?
Oh, that's too perfect.
Hey, Brian, man, I love you, guy. You're a great guy, man, you know. I say, man, it's good to be on with you guys, man. Hey, Travis Fulgham is all we got, Mike. You know,
yeah,
we can't do no more than that.
I know. But see, yeah. Chris, I want to make you the defensive coordinator for the Ravens this week, right? And you watch your video of last week. Now, what kind of plan are you going to have?
Oh, man, I put two on Fulgham and Earth got to wake up.
That's what I mean. Hey, identify 13. That's about all we have to do.
That's it. I mean, there's nothing else can we get to. I mean, it's sad to say, man, it's been a sad season. I mean, you know, I've been crying and having headaches with my cousin, you know, since it started. But, I mean, we won the Super Bowl. That was the only great thing. But, it's back to the headaches.
Yeah, it's really painful right now, man. It really is.
And it's sad. We're looking at the same thing we were looking at last year. I don't understand it. It's like, who's watching this from up top? Are they looking at the same
thing? That's what I'm saying, Mr. Owner. Mr. Owner, what's up? You watching from up top?
Brian,
you're Jeffrey Lurie. No, seriously, I'm curious because you know him a little bit. Like he's looking at this as like malpractice going on. Now, what do you think his opinion is?
Well, I'm sure he's disappointed at the future. He does. I mean, just think of the future of this team. Where does he go from here? He only had six or seven picks next season. How does this team get that much better with the salary cap that they have as well? So, I mean, there are some issues that you're going to have to face in the upcoming season. But as far as this season goes, there's just not much you can do. You got to hope some of these guys come back and try to steal a game.
Well, I'm about to lose some faith in how this is being run. That's what I'm getting at. Chris, are you ready to do the do you deserve the football, Chris?
I believe I do.
All right, you got 30 seconds starting now. Go.
In 2002, when Westbrook got picked in the second, third round, my pop said that was a great back. You know what I mean? That was a great back coming out of Villanova. So I knew it. But my wife, she just loves 36. You know, every time we get close to scoring, she said if they would have just had 36, he would have just jumped over the pile and got in the end zone. I mean, I got to hit it every game. You know, it kills me.
All right, Chris, that's pretty good. Now, Brian, I mean, that was flattering. Pop liked this, said you were a great back out of Villanova. Wife says give it to 36.
Listen, the wife says give it to 36, you give it to 36. Sounds like the winner to me. I mean, that's
so right now you got Chris. You got Chris leading over Duke,
or just both even?
Over Duke.
I
did think Duke was really, really good. I did appreciate his history. I appreciate him crying. So I think if we should have two balls we can give out. Let's do that. Let's get out two balls.
Oh, we got one. We can't give out two.
We only have one. What?
We only can afford to buy one.
See, this is the tough part, Brian. You see, I have to make these kind of calls every week for general knowledge. They only could afford one ball. You charge us so much.
That's right.
And then they get the six-pack coupons. Good for six full-size packages.
Unless we can find a sporting goods store that has the Wilson Indestructo, we can buy one of those Bobo balls. But as far as we know,
this is what we'll do, Mike. This is what we'll do.
Well, it's not over yet. We still got a couple more calls.
Got at least one more, Brian.
We still got some more. Let's
we got. All right, so let's go Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Brian. It's a pleasure to, you know, talk to you. This Eagles game this week, it's definitely going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And, I think that we win off of Lamar Jackson's mistakes. I believe, you know, he throws a pick, maybe two. There's not a whole lot to say on how we can win. But if the Ravens shoot themselves in the foot, I think that's the best chance that we have to come up. I think we win by 26-23. And it's going to be a long field goal. Doug Peterson doesn't go for the tie this week.
Wow. I mean, this is really optimistic of you. They're going to score 26 points against them.
26-23.
The way they are right now, their offensive line or skill play.
The defense comes up with a touchdown.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to see if I can
you got 30 seconds, Thomas. Okay. Go.
I believe,
I deserve to win this football. You know, I'm one of Brian's biggest fans. When I was 8 years old, my dad took me to a Nova game. My dad tried to get me into sports, and it only took me a couple Nova games to see Brian Westbrook, to love this sport. You know, I played in Pee Wee. I played in middle school at Paxton Hollow. You know, I thank Brian for his accomplishments and making me helping me love this sport.
All right, there you go. All right, so that's Thomas. All right, now, Brian, yeah. I think that you are torn between Duke and Chris, who his wife said give it the 36. And so I know you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So this is what we'll do. Do we all agree, Ty and Nat? Do we all agree that it's down to those two?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what we'll do. We have three votes here to break the tie, since Brian's tied up.
All right.
And we'll have a consensus on it. So, all right. I am going to go because I like the passion and the history instead of the fawning over Brian Westbrook. So I go Duke.
Which one of us should go first, Natalie?
All right. Well, I mean, I'm a sucker for a guy who just admits that he cries and that he's so passionate about the team, and you know, he's followed it forever. So I'm going Duke too.
I also was going Duke.
Ah, so we're unanimous. Well, there you go. Well, that settles. So Duke, if you're listening, you're the winner of the football. It is a autographed football by Brian Westbrook, and you get a 6-pack of coupons, good for 6 full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon. That's right. Check out the new Make the Switch campaign with Brian Westbrook at Godshall's.com. You're repping turkey bacon.
Hey, I got to tell you, Mike, I'm a pork bacon type of guy, but I've tried this bacon, and I'm not just saying this because I've done these commercials. This is good turkey bacon. I'm talking about good turkey bacon. We're making the switch from pork bacon to turkey bacon right here in the Westbrook household. So we've already made the switch. It's good bacon.
Look at you, man, going turkey bacon. It's healthier for the family, Brian. That's a good call by you, man.
Tastes good, man.
All right. Well, listen, this is fun. Thanks for a great hour. Have a great weekend. We will see you on the pregame show on Sunday. That's right. You and D-Gun and Devon.
Mm-hmm.
So check everybody out. That will be, of course, at
Parks Casino
and Sportsbook. And then, of course, we'll talk to you on Monday after the game when the Eagles win.
All right. Good, guys. Talk to you Monday.
All right. There he is. Brian Westbrook in the autographed football goes to Duke. Godshall's turkey bacon. He gets 6-pack of coupons, good for 6 full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon. You know, there's nothing better than having, like, coupons for free stuff.
Free!
Turkey bacon is... That Godshall's turkey bacon is phenomenal.
It's the best kind.
Yeah.
It is good.
It really is.
Did you ever get the... we did the pierogies? Like, we had the coupons.
Yeah, I remember the pierogies, yeah.
I loaded up on some pierogies.
Like a pierogi.
Pierogies are my fave.
I love it. You know, you get that coupon, they're free.
Yes. Mm-hmm,
Yeah.
All right. 5 o'clock hour is ahead. Let's make this the best 5 o'clock hour. Football Friday, right? The best 5 o'clock hour on Football Friday. Your thoughts on the Eagles. Where are you right now? I want to know. You're going to the game. I want to know if this pulled you away from the game. They're now a 9.5-point underdog. Mike Mussinelli Show. It's back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock hour. And it's the Mike Mussinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, the 5 o'clock hour, is brought to us by Guida Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay it off, interest free. Call Guida Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GUIDA.com. All right, folks, it's looking bleak, but stranger things have happened. All right, so the Eagles are going to be without their starting right tackle, without their starting right guard. Mailata playing again left tackle, although he's surviving pretty well.
No Deshaun, no Alshon. Zach Ertz playing, and hopefully he makes a difference. And Miles Sanders will be there still, but who knows what he's about anymore.
And, well, a lot of people think he's the greatest back in the NBA. I mean, NFL, a lot of people think that. And they do. They think he's having a great year.
They do.
Averaging less than 4 yards a carry in the fourth quarter of games with no touchdowns in the second half yet this season. If he can score in the second half for the first time, that would be that would mean, one, the Eagles probably in it, unless it's super garbage time.
Yeah.
And two, they've been able to have some rhythm on offense. That's the thing. He's popped and flashed, but he hasn't had a four-quarter game yet. People blame whatever. He has not yet have a one-through-four-quarter game yet.
Yeah, well, he's going to have one Sunday. The line has gone up to 9.5 from 7.5, I guess, based on this latest information and what they're putting out there. The upside is they will have a semblance of a home crowd. We don't know how many people are going to show up in this game, whether people stay away, whatever. So there's that issue as well that we'll have to study and talk about on Monday. So let's go to Randy in Mount Laurel to start the 5 o'clock hour off. Randy.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'm disappointed. I guess I was the next person in line to try to get that B-back football.
Man. Sorry.
So if you did let me have to make my football point, I'd like to share a Brian Westbrook story.
Sure.
All right. So this weekend, though, with the Eagles, I don't know. I just don't know how they're going to stop Lamar Jackson with our linebacking core or lack thereof. And I just think he's going to be able to pick apart the secondary by taking off a little bit and then opening up the zone there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, I have to hope that we come out firing, but it's not looking good, Mike.
No, I don't think it's looking good either. I think they're really struggle to score in this game. I see.
No, and that's the other thing. And if you're the defensive coordinator, you just say, all right, well, they got one guy that can maybe put up some numbers on a deep threat. Let's cover him and get after Carson.
Yeah.
So, but in my B West story, and it was pretty cool, was it was about Fan Fest a couple years back. And B. West was up on stage. It was a buddy of mine's wife's birthday. He's a huge B. West fan. And I yell for him. I call him over. And he records a video message on my phone to her for her birthday. And it's replayed every year. And I just think it's a really cool thing. And I was hoping that getting that football would just be able to put the icing on the cake, that whole situation.
Yeah. I don't think this would have won.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But you know, I appreciate, you know, your dedication to it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I don't know if it would have won.
All right.
Duke was tough to beat. Man. He poured his heart out.
It was.
He had a Bremen reference in there. He had Dudley Do Right. He was all over the place.
I'll give it a shot. But all right, Mike, thanks.
All right, man. Good, it was a good effort.
Yeah,
great effort.
Duke was so heartfelt, and he just, you know, he knew exactly where to pull on the heartstrings.
Yes, he did.
He started out with, I've cried, you know, and he started out like that.
Absolutely.
That one, I didn't sell me, but it was his, the history is what sold me. But we're approaching it from different places.
Yes.
Yeah.
Natalie and I approaching it from different places.
I felt like Duke was poetic.
You know, wipe those eyes.
Duke was poetic.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was deep.
Mm-hmm. He was deep.
Snaps. Poetry snaps.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Colin on a cell. What's up, Colin? Colin?
Hey.
Hello, Colin.
How you guys doing?
How are you?
Very good. Very good. Hey, yeah, I'm like the last caller, too. I had a Westbrook thing where at the same time, it's embarrassing, but when I was in first grade, I had my best friend was a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I got my picture taken with a Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt, which I'm embarrassed to say again. And my father, I took it home, was proud, showed it to him, and he was not talking to me for about a year. So my second grade picture, I had an Eagles jersey on for the picture. And, but later on in life, I was 14 years old and we did the original black and tans with the Yingling. We did the porter and the lager and we made our own black and tans and we watched the games. And when Westbrook came along, he said, see, Colin, he said, look, came from a little school, Villanova. And look what he made of himself, third round draft pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gave me all sorts of pride where I can do anything. I ended up being airborne infantry in the first Desert Storm. And
oh, man.
Part of that was
you.
Because of Westbrook.
Wow. Well, that's a great story. That might pull at the star strings. You were able to get in. Now, let me ask you a couple questions about this. You wore the Dallas jersey your first grade year? Where'd you get it? Yeah,
well, it was a sweatshirt. It was a sweatshirt.
Where did you get the sweatshirt?
Like JCPenney's or something.
Well,
like
wait a minute. Your father didn't talk to you for a year for not wearing an Eagles thing. Who bought the sweatshirt for you, Mom?
Yeah. She didn't know any different. She's from Germany. She didn't give.
Oh, okay. All right. So that should have been a lesson your dad passed on to Mom. He didn't talk to you for a year, huh?
No, yeah. It's funny because he's from media. We're from now towards Harrisburg. We were in York, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And my grandmother called one time, and my mother yelled to my father. She said, "Shelly, you have to stop screaming because she can hear you in media." The Eagles are losing.
I'm confused there. Did you see it that was a little harsh that the father wouldn't talk to you when you're like second grade?
I mean, he did, but of course he was really upset.
But he was really upset.
Oh. Yeah, and then I became a huge Diddy fan and whatnot. Uh-huh. He used to go specifically out of his way to go get the Inquirer. And I cut out clippings and everything, and I really want to come down there and have, I've been down there a number of times, but have Diddy sign. He had an article that I have clipped out.
Yeah, he doesn't work at this radio station, you know, right?
Oh, sorry.
You know, that's all right, man. Thanks for the call.
Well, now I'm thinking.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. Also, thanks to his father.
I thought he was talking about P. Diddy for a second.
That's what I thought. I was like, all right. So he got to Diddy.
He became a Diddy fan. I thought he was going to say, my father didn't like that either.
Right, like, man.
That's where I thought that story was going.
You know, that's a bad job by Mom, but it's also partially bad job by Pop in that it's picture day. Had he taken a little bit more interest in picture day,
that wouldn't happen.
He wouldn't have. And pay attention to what's in your son's closet.
Yeah.
If anything, Cowboys are coming to my house, Stevie J would have thrown it in the trash.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even have donated it.
I'm sure he would have. The German mother didn't know any better, but there's, you know, I guess I can excuse that, but that seems like to be a, there might be like a little gap there that needs to be closed.
Also, do you not discuss it? So really, I want to now speak to that man's father. Did he not talk to his wife about, I know she's from Germany, but she wasn't living in Germany.
Yeah, I got enough translation problems to try to explain this to her. Eagle cowboy dynamic.
They have sports in Germany. You wouldn't wear a different soccer club's jersey.
No, but American football would probably confuse her.
Say, by green.
She had no idea. She thought, here's what she thought. She comes to America, Cowboys and Indians. The sweatshirt says Cowboys on it. Okay. You know, she probably had a primitive knowledge.
Oh, okay. That's
of what
fair.
America was.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, maybe just look at the wardrobe.
Yeah, he could check a little bit.
See a gray sweatshirt.
Was it the first time he wore it?
Must have
been. First haul he does?
Probably because I know if anything like my mom, I got fresh clothes for picture day.
Yeah, you know, you would just dress up. I didn't wear the damn sweatshirts for picture day.
I wear three-piece suits when I was in elementary.
Exactly, yeah.
When I was in first grade.
Yeah.
A vest and a gold chain. Mostly. It was ridiculous. I hated it.
Yeah, I'm going to bring in some of my old photos for picture day. I was always styled up.
Yeah.
Should.
Had to be.
Oh, I'm going
to
bring him in.
I want to see them.
Oh, yeah. Blaine in Chester County. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Blaine.
Hey, yo, Mike.
What's up, Blaine?
Yeah, what's up? Me and my Uncle Benny, we was kicking around some trade ideas.
Okay.
Today at the shop. What y'all think about trading Wentz to Indianapolis Colts, reuniting with Frank Reich, and we get Jacob Brissett back for T.Y. Hilton?
For who?
Jacob Brissett and T.Y. Hilton.
Brissett and T.Y. Hilton. Yeah.
Get a mobile.
T.Y. Hilton's 100 years old.
Nah, he got speed, though.
Maybe he's 100. I can't. Replay the Deshaun? I can't take an old guy anymore.
We get rid of Deshaun Alshon. We get T.Y. Hilton, Fulton.
Nah. Jacoby Brissett does nothing for me, first of all. And T.Y. Hilton's 100 years old. I mean, you and your Uncle Benny got to come up with better than that. Come on, Blaine.
No, what I'm
that's the best Uncle Benny's doing? Blaine. Are you there? What's going on, Blaine? Uncle Benny, come on. Uncle Benny's going to come up better now. Nah, that's not a good trade for Wentz.
Let's trade Wentz to Indianapolis, which everybody just assumes that it's easy to do in season. do it after the season. And then you get wide receivers back that are aging.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at any level. All right.
Just want them gone.
Let's go AJ and Jagatown. What's up, AJ?
You know, I as soon as that call started, I said, here, propose a trade. And then I said, oh, brother, hang up the phone. Because nobody is, you can't trade something for nothing.
I had to respect I had to respect the combo, him and Uncle Benny, though. So I think maybe Uncle Benny has something up his sleeve.
Look, the only thing I kept seeing on Twitter was some proposed trade for Zach for the Cardinals to get, I forget who that other person in return people wanted for Zach Ertz, but that seemed a little bit more believable, even though I love Zach, but I know that at this point, he's not going to give him money.
Sam Reddick, the linebacker from Temple?
Reddick, yes. That's the guy from Temple. I think Hassan Reddick. He's from Temple.
Yes, he is.
I need Jim Schwartz to get a clue, because speaking of Temple, Sean Bradley probably would have had a better chance of at least trying to block Claypool last weekend more than Nathan Gary.
Or cover him, he must not be ready to, I don't know. Well, how can you judge anything they do at this point? Because he must not be showing anything in practice. All of a sudden, these guys come out the practice squad and play.
And that's my point. That's why, like, everybody who's, I mean, I'm disappointed with Deshaun and Alshon, but at the same time, how do we know what's really considered ready and what's not? Because Alshon been walking around, you know, limping for his whole career since the Super Bowl, and he still caught balls. So what's the difference between him now and, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the difference between him now is that he goes, I'm old now. I just want to collect money. So I'm not ready to go, Skip. You know?
It's because of that hate, though, that came from Jocena, too, that people want him gone. So I think that's where all that started. And it's sad because it's like character assassination now at this point with these players. I mean, it should just come down to the fact that, yes, if you haven't produced, that's the main reason why you're not coming back next year. But at the same time, it's sad because I was rooting for Sean to come back because he should have never left. But now here you go. He's used his body so much in other places that this is what we get now.
We got a stat here. All right. What is this stat, Tyron? He played. I remember this because we were talking about they used him up in the first game of the year last year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He played 51 snaps first game last year. He's played how many since?
Right.
134?
Of 1,584.
Of 1,584 plays. He's played 134 of them. All right. Well,
crazy. And it's sad because at the end of the day, you're right. At the end of the day, there's no transparency with this front office, and it's annoying me. It's really annoying me because Howie.
You have to factor in when they got him back. We all said, how much does he have left? Like, he's going to get hurt all the time now, right?
All right.
But apparently they don't think that way. I don't know.
I just don't believe. Let's just put it this way: we're not pros as far as fans. We don't know what's really going on, but just don't take it to a level, Twitter and all these free people who aren't, you know, actual journalists. Don't take it to a level where it's character assassination, please. Like, just leave it to the fact that they're not playing. We're disappointed. That's it. There's so many people getting personal with it. And, of course, Deshaun, because of what happened earlier in the season with the whole...
I don't think they're down on the Deshaun as much as they're down on Alshon, because Alshon kind of had that thing before in Chicago.
Right, and Alshon, blame Jocena Anderson... Alshon assassinated his own character by snitching.
Alshon was the schnitz.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like other people are assassinating. He decided he had low character because only a low character person would snitch in his own locker room, and he did it Dallas week. Like, think about how wretched you have to be, like, as a human to do that, as an Eagles player, to snitch on your quarterback Dallas week the first time and then come back and do it one more again. I don't feel any sympathy for him. He's the one who told people he had a better attitude. He's the one who told people he had lost weight. He's the one who said he was going to be ready in September. Had he just shut up and said, we'll see what happens, then we'd be taking it. We wouldn't have expected it. And then Howie would have put him on the pup list. You mean to tell me Howie didn't put him on the pup list because obviously Howie thought he was going to play as well? Or it would have been no-brainer to put him on IR or the pup list. So clearly... he thought he was going to play. So, no, this is on Alshon. This isn't on anybody else. That's on him.
You know, it's funny, though, when nobody has really yapped at him today. But, hey, what's Alshon jaking it? Because this is what it seems like. It looks like that to me.
Yes.
Like he's gone. Because Brian alluded to it. Brian Westbrook, very revealing with that, saying, you know, some guys, like, they're just going to come back. They don't maybe want to come back against the team that's going to blast their butt.
I wonder if they're both back on Thursday. Yeah, all of a sudden, Thursday night Giants. Yeah. Oh, man, the hamstring is loose.
And that would be to tell, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they better sit out next Thursday, too, and then take the extra 10 days.
Oh, man.
If they all play Thursday, it's going to look wretched. I just needed extra 4 days, and now
everything's fine.
Surgery and everything, but these 4 days were the key.
All right. So we got a break coming up, but I looked at my Twitter today, and I got a retweet from Shakira. Well, somebody retweeted Shakira.
Shakira retweeted you?
No, no.
Oh.
The guy that follows me retweeted Shakira. And there's a message in Espanol.
Oh, okay.
And it says, this is Shakira's tweet. It says, La Latinas somos la fuerza detrás de nuestras familias y nuestras comunidades. Aunque somos una minoría en este país, las voces unidas de latinas harán una gran diferencia. Tu voto cuenta.
All right. Party on, Wayne.
Was her tweet. Now, as far as I can read this in my novice Espanol, is she's saying that we are the force behind our families and our communities. Although we are a minority in this country, país, our united Latino voices will make a great difference. Your vote counts.
She's right.
Tu voto cuenta.
Nice.
There you go, Shakira. Thanks for that.
Yeah. She's right. She's right.
She is. So she's rallying her troops. It's good to see them speaking out politically, the stars.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that Spanish out there.
Sometimes I need to recite
Spanish.
I know.
Makes me feel like, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're due. It's been like a week.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Coming down the home stretch. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's 5:30. It's time to get the final Twitter poll numbers and get as many calls as we can until we get the Friday sound off and wrap up this week. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Fall is here, and Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown is your stop for all outdoor power equipment, from hedgers and trimmers to leaf blowers and chainsaws. I gotta get me a new leaf blower, man. I guess I still use that 100-foot cord.
Nah, you gotta get it.
I know.
I know.
I'm behind. Right? I'm behind.
Well, that one's electric.
Yeah, that's electric. The battery has to be charged. I got the battery weed whacker, but I didn't break down and get the leaf blower.
You gotta get that.
I know. Chainsaws also, if you need one. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or stop by their Doylestown location today. Natalie?
Alrighty, Mike, poll number one. Over 1,200 votes on this one, despite the offensive line concerns. Do you think the Eagles have what it takes to beat the Ravens? 25% say yes, 75% say no. And that was before we learned that these guys could be out. So poll number two, the Eagles came into the year relying on Jackson, Jeffrey, and Peters. All three will miss another game this week. Who's to blame? 13% say the players. 82% say Howie Roseman. 3% say Jeffrey Lurie. 2% say Doug Peterson. So
we took that poll with the knowledge that those guys aren't going to play. There wouldn't be anything close to 25%.
No, not at all.
That'd be like less than 10.
That was when, yeah. Because
that was when we thought Deshaun was playing.
At least Deshaun.
And maybe
exactly. That'd be a 93%er.
Yeah.
To 7, yes.
All right, let's go Jim and Ashlyn. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hi, Mike. I haven't called for a while, but I had a theory on Alshon Jeffrey and Deshaun Jackson. You kind of touched on it a couple minutes ago.
these were two guys who were once prime receivers in the top of their career. Now they're at the end of their career. I don't think they want to play on Sunday because they know it's a loss. Their egos want them to come back against the Giants, where they can be maybe make a catch or two that are really big, be the big heroes, and turn things around and make a name for themselves again.
You know, you hate to think that way, but you're probably right.
I mean, they want the glory again, and they're not going to get it, the glory against the Ravens.
You're probably right. No, these guys, man, they have it all figured out.
Yeah, the other thing is, when they get back and Rieger gets back, other receivers are going to have to go. And I'd rather see the old guys get cut and take the losses this year and keep some of the younger guys for next year. I don't want to see Fulgham go. I mean, Quez Watkins, Jefferson, these guys might have a career in front of them. You know, and
yeah, I think they're gonna all stick. I don't know what they can do with the Jeffrey thing with the money, and Deshaun's done after this year, so that was
so is Jeffrey. I mean,
yeah, they're not gonna release him now though. So you know, they don't want to. I don't, you know, it's funny because if I'm Howie Roseman, the first thing I would do would take that hit. But again, I'm not managing a team, so I don't know what he's up against as far as that goes. The Alshon Jeffrey is not good for a squad.
No. Right. Well, I wish I would have won that football. It would have looked great on my bookcase right next to my father and Brian Westbrook action figure. Would have looked fantastic there. But I called.
Late. You know, it's an interesting item, and we only had time for so many calls. So let's see. This guy emailed me and said, "This is what I would have said." So I met him one time through a friend of Jaws. Was at the Hall of Fame game for Philadelphia Soul. We didn't get to get his autograph there because he had a mob of people around him. We didn't want to be those annoying fans and bother him. He was with his people, but he did take a picture with my fiance. I can't even repeat that next.
Oh, come on. He was hanging.
That might be gross.
It's not gross. Is it bad? He's accusing B. West of not looking down, not looking straight ahead, but looking somewhere else.
All right. Well, that's one guy's story.
That's one guy's story. I don't know if it's true. It's
probably not true.
We also don't know what kind of rhythms the woman may have been showing Brian as a former professional athlete.
Exactly. Then the guy's laughing about it. He says, LOL.
Oh, okay.
Out of respect, I just think he should give her a signed ball because of that. So that's...
Glad
he didn't get on. I wouldn't have won.
That would not have won.
No.
Jason in Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason.
Hey, Mikey Miss. Paisan.
What's up, Jason?
I'm a long-time listener. I'm thrilled to be talking to you. First-time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
And did I miss a boat? Am I too late on my Westbrook story?
Yeah, he's no longer here to judge. So, but if you have a story, we'll listen to it.
All right, I'd love to.
We'll judge if it was good enough. I know it's going to probably make you feel worse, but Gaia, what's your story?
All right, well, bear with me as I fumble through it. It's still emotional for me, and I'm not the orator.
Oh, it's emotional. Have been a candidate. All right, go ahead.
Well, so my parents were from Philly, right? But they do humanitarian work in East Africa. So they moved me over there to Kenya when I was 4 years old. So I grew up there. I was in a boarding school from that age, and I was mixed with kids from all over the world, variety of different states from the U.S. And in 2005, when our Birds went to the Super Bowl, I broke out of my dorm that night, and it was strict boarding school, high security, so it wasn't easy. But I broke out of my dorm, and then I went and broke into the school library to get access to their computers and their printers. And if you remember back then, leading up to the Super Bowl on the Eagles website, they had cool character pictures for all the different players. And, Westbrook's was Wild, Wild Westbrook, and it was a cool picture of him. He was my favorite player at the time.
Wow.
So anyway, I spent the next few hours, middle of the night, printing out hundreds of Wild Bob Westbrook posters, and I covered my entire school with every building, every wall I could find. Now, because of the time difference, the game didn't come on until around 2-3 a.m. And I went back to the dorm, and I watched the game alone. We all know what happened from there. And when McNabb threw that final heave, teenage Jay put his face in his hands and wept alone for the rest of the night. And then on top of that, when I wake up, I was punished with detention from the school for what I did for the next few weeks. And then on top of that, the rest of my friends and kids I played sports with there at school got such a kick out of it, and, you know, and were pretty merciless.
We played rugby there, not football. And for the rest of my career there, I was jokingly and kind of affectionately dubbed the Wild Wild Westbrook.
Wow. And I tell you what, that's, Jason, it's a good story. You got the East African situation in there. It's touching. That may have been a contender, man. I'm sorry about that because, you know.
No way he could have fit that in 30 seconds.
No, he couldn't fit in 30 seconds.
Wait, I also, the, it was a little muffled.
It was a little muffled. He's Wild Wild Westbrook posters all over. Yeah, he's in East Africa. So he had to watch the game at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was dedicated to Brian Westbrook.
Right, and had he said it like that, he might have got it done.
Yeah, it was.
But that was. They took, whoo.
Yeah, it was like watching the movie Benjamin Button there But, you know.
That is pretty,
Yeah, it's funny because I was telling you this story about my connection to Fulgham.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah,
this is how, it's weird how Earth works. So I'm reading a story on Fulgham, and it's talking about his parents. And his mother and father were in this organization called USAID, which is a health planning arm of the State Department, and they go in impoverished areas. Well, my college roommate, my best friend, who lives in Virginia, was in USAID and was an executive there for a long time. So I just happened to read the story. I texted him. I go, hey, did you know, I forget what the mother's name, Celeste. Malcolm, I think, is the father's name. I said, did you know the Fulghams? He said, yeah. He goes, Malcolm and I rose in the organization together, and we were at their house for there in Virginia, and we there was a party of all the USAID people at their house. So he said it weird.
So weird.
That's super weird.
And like, who would have thought that years later, now it would be, you know, the unlikely savior.
Yeah,
for
and
the
he said he's at the house. He saw young kids there, and so one of them must have been Travis.
Yeah, probably.
This was like in 2006 or something.
He's like the baby goat. Amazing. Nobody knew.
All right, let's go. Mike in Allentown. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike. First time caller here from Allentown, PA.
What's up,
good afternoon, Tyrone. Good afternoon, Natalie. My thoughts on the Eagles right now, this team needs to be big-time sellers before the trade deadline. What they need to do is accumulate draft picks. But in the same breath, they need to bring in a football guy that will put together a big board and take best player available. LOL, not a quarterback, though, in the second round. They also need to shake up the scouting department. No more Howie making the picks. This team needs to get younger, faster, stronger, all the way around.
It's a good plan. It's not going to happen. I don't think it's even going to happen after the season's over. But the trading deadlines, it's not like baseball. Now, who are you suggesting they would trade at the trading deadline to get draft picks?
Faster, stronger, all the way around.
Mike, you're listening to your TV there. See, that's not good. We have a little combo, but we didn't work that out. Ryan and Lindenwald. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan. Yo, Ryan.
I said, yo, Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I just got one question.
Mm-hmm.
When is the time for, like, the Eagles, like, to sell? Because this is getting everyone's hurt. Zach Ertz don't want to play. It's just getting, every week there's something new.
Well, I asked the same question I tried to ask our last caller. What, you just can't sell. You know, because you're talking about moving players, right, to other teams?
Yes.
All right. Well, those players have salaries. And the cap situation for, if you're asking for draft picks, you're asking them to take on a salary. Like, if you were to trade Jeffrey, his number's like $15 million. Nobody wants that. It's like trying to trade Al Horford. You see what I'm saying? Like, who has any worth that you would trade? Except maybe Zach Ertz. And I'm pretty sure they're going to do that in the offseason rather than rush it. No, my man, I'm talking to an empty telephone, apparently. What's going on with these last two callers?
I mean, it's
should we try one more?
I'm not.
Let's go to Sal. What's up, Sal?
How you doing,
man?
How you doing, Mike? My first time calling the show. Hello?
Turn your radio down, buddy.
All right, hold on, sir. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead. What's wrong with people?
I told you. I told you. You get vibes around this joint. You get vibes.
Hey, hey, Sal, how can we get our brothers on the wall? Remember that line?
Yes. Real fast, before we go to Sound Off, Sixers, it was rumored, now it's true, courtesy of Shams, the Sixers and Elton Brand, they're hiring Pacers executive Peter Dinwiddie as executive VP of basketball ops. So
oh, there you go.
This is a bit of that change that was promised. Mm-hmm. People thought it should happen quicker.
Yes.
Yes, and I will say the Pacers were able to build an interesting team without free agents.
Yeah.
Or
he's
high
pretty
well
regarded, that guy, Dinwiddie.
So I think that, yeah, so I think that that's a good move to help mm-hmm. Elton lead the front office.
Yes.
So I think with...
All right, there you go. So there, good Sixer news as we go into the Sound Off for yeah. the week.
Yeah.
Take that thought with you as you're watching that game on Sunday. Sound Off's coming your way. Close out the week after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be facing me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same-Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, time for Sound Off. The number for Sound Off, in case you want to store it up for the weekend, you want to give us a Sound Off after the game on Sunday, like I would think 4 o'clock would be a good time to get the phones humming. It's 610-771-9705. That's how you get in on Sound Off. You got something to say. Hit us up, leave us a message. All right, let's wrap up the week and see what we have on Sound Off.
Hey, Mike, I just checked the announcing assignments for this week, and guess what? Now that he's with CBS, we actually get him for a game. Your favorite, Charles Davis. So I'll get you ready for him. Charles Davis, 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 Charles Davis.
He never shuts up. Charles. Who's the play-by-play guy? Charles Davis.
That's the number two team, so I forget. It must be because of Baltimore. I think it's, I don't know. I'll look it up.
All right.
Man, I wish all these people always saying miss the playoffs. Favorite draft pick, but please stop it. It only makes sense in the NBA because A, you have the lottery, you have a chance of actually moving up in it, and B, as an AC, you're not ever winning anything anyway in the NBA playoffs. So, anyway, go Birds. Let's do this.
Let's do this. All right. 27-6. No, let's do this. All right, next.
Wow, I don't believe how happy the Philadelphia Eagles fans are with a one-win record so far this season. They're so pathetic. And to hear Gargano saying, oh, we can lose the next two, still be in first place. Wow, to be in first place with a losing record. That's something to really be proud of.
Now, why you gotta be an idiot? Because you know it's a lie with your Foster. Nobody see. You think people are happy? I don't know what the hell you're listening to. People are miserable right now about this team. Can't even talk about the damn game. Creep.
I see Le'Veon Bell is going over with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think if anybody can squeeze some more talent out of Le'Veon Bell, he has the best coordinators in all of football. And I think they're on their way to a Super Bowl win. Of course, the Super Bowl might be God knows when.
You know, it's for Chiefs to get him, everybody would have had to pass on him, right?
No, he cleared waivers. No one's going to take on his contract. Eddie was going to sign for the minimum for this year and next year. The Jets have to pay him this year, and the Jets have to pay him all that money's guaranteed next year.
So why weren't the Eagles interested?
because they have their three down back in Sanders. He was asked about it. Tim McManus asked him about it this week, and that was his answer. We have our three down back.
Okay.
Even though they only have one back, and they could have used maybe another back. Nope. That was wild.
Gentlemen, you said Cliff Lee was the only Philly when the Yankees played the Phillies in the World Series. He won his two games. So I don't know if that's a dog or what, but he's the only Philly pitcher that showed up.
Yeah, he also couldn't hold the lead against the Cardinals when they had actually the better team in 2011. About that one. That yes. didn't make him a dog.
So, Mike, when you were doing your candy list, maybe I missed it, but I don't recall hearing Philadelphia's own Goldberg's peanut chew. And one that I think is kind of fugazi, but other people seem to like it. How about Mentos? And here's something that really wasn't a candy, but it was really good to eat when I was young. The Chico Stick.
I don't even know what that is, a Chico Stick.
Chico Stick, no, they're gross.
Chico Stick.
I think they're gross.
Yeah, Mentos was just
and Mentos.
Good. Yeah, that was just a chewy mint.
And we did bring up the peanut chew.
We did. The peanut chew got consideration, but the dark chocolate didn't make it a top five for me. I actually like the peppermint patty.
Oh, I was going to say that too.
As a refresh, but that's like way down the undercard candy. York peppermint patty.
Oh, it's like top five for me.
Well, it's very refreshing.
Yes, it is.
Kramer, what's that?
Like the junior mint.
That's correct.
I got a real question for you, Mike. Is Matt Funtak the worst general manager in the history of sports? But not like in the history of the Phillies or not in the history of the city. In the history of sports.
Well,
the answer to that question is yes, which I think it is. Then here's another question. Why wasn't he fired entirely out of the organization?
Well, there's a real easy answer for why he wasn't fired out of the organization, because then he would have had to pay him free money, and they're crying poor right now because they have to lay off people, and it would have looked really bad. You'd have to do a comprehensive review of every general manager to come up with that he's the worst general manager in the history of sports. So that would go a little too far. I know that's an emotional plea there, but that's a little too far.
That was plastic earlier when the guy called Elton Brand Elton John. And it made me realize that a couple of years back when Elton Brand got the GM gig, I believe Joe Torty was filling in doing updates that day, and he called him Russell Brand. And I thought, wow, Elton Brand being misnamed by Elton John and Russell Brand. What a difference of talent level, huh?
There you go. See, I like Elton John. I like to smack Russell Brand.
We all do.
He irritates me. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got
enough
beef? I don't like them.
What?
Because I don't like
them. Then bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
Good morning. See you later.
All right, that was Sound Off. Your play-by-play guy is Ian Eagle. Yeah. His nickname's Bird. For obvious reasons. Stay tuned. The Draft Line Show is coming up. Jamie Lish, Devon Givens, and on NBC Sports Philadelphia, it's the NHL Gaming World Championships. Stay tuned for that. Everybody have a great weekend. We're going to all watch it. We'll talk about it Monday. Be safe, and we'll talk to you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.